Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 272. My name is Chris Furcchio, and I'm here with Jeff Chorney.
What up, guys?
And just in case you needed someone to beat a three-year-old game for you, Scott Sauer.
Oh, it's more than 3 years old, dude.
Yeah. That can also apply to you too, Chris.
I know. Actually, story really goes that I emailed Leo and I said, you know, he's always doing these kind of backhanded introductions for you. Why don't you record one and send it to me and I'll play it when I introduce Scott. and he said that he was going to record one saying that and send it to me, but I never got it. So I just figured I'd use his line.
Oh, snap.
Scott, yeah. How you doing, buddy? It's good to see you or hear from you.
I'm doing well. Pretty well. I mean, this is my first week at my new job and,
right.
Amazing.
Your new old job.
Yes. My repeat job. It is amazing how much more like worthwhile I feel like when I'm doing something that's interesting and using my brain and not rotting away.
It's amazing how that works.
So it is, it's fantastic.
Things good.
Have been going well.
Yeah. And this was when did you start? This was your first week. You start Monday?
Yeah, I started Monday. I had 4 days of vacation, sitting around from my previous job, so I ended up taking almost the entirity of my last week there off, so I got a nice little recharge. I had a half a day on Monday and then 3 days off and then a half a day on Friday. Basically had to show up to hand in all my crap.
Oh, yeah. So outside of that, would they have paid you for that vacation time if you hadn't taken it?
Yeah, but I cared more about the time off and the money in this case. I just felt like I needed a nice, you know, brain veg.
Yeah, I hear you.
Clean out kind of moment, you know.
I considered doing that because I actually have 2 weeks of vacation that I haven't used yet.
Mm-hmm.
I actually am in the market for a new car, so I decided just to, my last day is a week from today and I start work the following Monday. Today is Thursday, by the way, guys, so. So I have that Friday off just to kind of veg out and have a day. And a buddy and I are going to go to the auto show. And then I start work again right away on Monday. So
it's not good to go to an auto show if you're getting ready to buy a car. I'm just saying.
That's why I'm going to the auto show, because I'm getting ready to buy a car.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, that's like being on a diet and going to a fucking foodie convention or something.
No, I'm going to see I want to see the cars that that I'm looking at. I want to see some of the ones that I haven't seen yet. I'm going to go into my stuff. Sorry. I didn't mean to kind of run over you, but, when I start working at GM, I'm going to start getting discounts. And, one of the things I want to do is look at the cars they have. And then they are also bringing out a new model this year. The Chevy SS. Which is supposed to be basically the replacement for the Pontiac G8. I want to look at that and see if it's something that I would be in the market for buying, before I actually make a purchase. So that is my reasoning.
Okie dokie.
What else is up?
Oh, shit. I don't know. Not a lot, I guess.
Not a lot.
I have kids that run me ragged.
You know how that is.
I don't know. Outside of games, really, not a lot has been going on. Outside of games and a new job.
And
it's kind of normal.
And Days of Goo, which we will get to later on.
Right.
Why don't I explain that really quick? We're going to start out with distractions and news, and then when we come back from break, we're going to let Scott talk about an event that he and his podcast mates are planning. That's going to be happening in July. We'll let him go into some details on that. Then we're going to do some emails and Indus questions, and then we'll do new releases and a new question of the week. Actually, we're just carrying over the question of the week from last week since we're having Scott on the show, and we're going to do some emails.
So then it's not new at all.
No, it's not. We're going over it again. We're going over it again. But cool.
You got that too practiced after 271 episodes or whatever you said.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I mean, in reality, it's just we're running out of things to talk about. So that's what it really boils down to. It's like we've kind of tapped out a lot of the things that we've talked about. So, Jeff, what's up, dude? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing all right. Went to a wedding last weekend.
Right.
A good friend of mine got married, known her for a while. That was a lot of fun.
Sucker.
A lot of good times, a lot of open bar shenanigans.
Okay, there you go.
So that was really cool. It was actually a really good time. It was like just one of those things where it's like a lot of her friends, like we're all friends with him too, but we all kind of like got together and like he has his friends and they all came together. And you know, sometimes that can be awkward, but it was more of like everyone just got drunk together and just friggin' had a great time dancing ridiculously.
That is the best way to do it.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a good time. Other than that, not much has been happening this past week, really.
Okay, cool.
Same old. No new job here, unfortunately.
Wait, aren't you like in line for getting a promotion pretty soon or something?
Well, I got a promotion, but it still entails me doing the same job with a little bit more responsibility.
Okay.
So, in essence, I'm still doing my main job still the same, which is I have other stuff I do on top of that.
Okay.
So that part's kind of cool, but I wish I was doing something completely different because I've been doing this for too long.
Yeah.
So. One day.
I understand.
Anyway, Chris.
Yo.
What's up?
Not much to add.
You already talked about your shit.
Yeah, I know.
Scott.
That's what I was going to say. Not much to add from what we just talked about. I did get to actually go to happy hour today and hang out with some people from work and get some drinks since I'm leaving next week. So that was nice. But yeah, other than that, same old stuff. We're working on getting things ready for moving over to a new job. I know Scott knows how that is.
Did you really have to do anything? Like,
right now it's like, it's weird. It's like, this is, I'm the lead of my development team, right? Well, they have now set up meetings from starting tomorrow till the day I leave for knowledge transfer purposes to make sure that everything that I know gets transferred to one of four other people so that they can cover what I'm going to be taking with me.
Shit. So I had the exact opposite experience.
Oh, really?
Like I sent in my 2 weeks notice and I was at this weird position where like the person that would have been my boss was an empty slot. There wasn't anyone in there. So I had this interim boss. And then I knew the boss's boss kind of thing. So I sent out this email handing in my notice to basically my old boss, my interim boss, and my boss's boss, you know, because I'm like, I don't know which one of you cares.
Yeah,
about
right.
This,
Who do I
right?
send this to, right?
Nobody said anything. Nobody said anything for a week.
Oh, my
Nothing.
God.
I didn't hear anything back from any of them. I'm like,
who's this Scott guy?
I finally like walked in. I didn't even know this, but the interim boss was like around the corner from my cube, like literally like 15 feet away. I didn't know because I had never met him. So I'm like, I don't even know who that guy is, right? Well, somebody pointed that out to me. I walked in there and I'm like, hey, I'm Scott. I'm leaving. Do we need to do anything? Like, seriously. Oh, he's like, oh yeah, you were on my list of people to talk to. Great. How long is your fucking list?
Because like, I got a week left.
Right after talking to the pizza guy for lunch and Susie, but hitting on her because she's wearing a fucking push-up bra. And then you were right after that. Sorry.
I'm sitting here thinking, you know what? You guys don't have to do anything. Tell you what. You just keep paying me. I don't give a fuck.
I'm going to stop showing up. If you want to keep sending me checks, that's fine.
I'll leave my laptop on your desk, and you go right ahead and keep writing checks to me. I don't give a shit.
There you go.
I'm like, seriously, none of you give a damn. Like, fuck you. Yeah, I'm happy to be out of there.
Yeah, I hear you. Cool. All right, well let's talk some games, man. Why don't you start out? What are you playing this week?
Oh shit! Well, in response to emails earlier today and the fact that I had 45 minutes free prior to recording, unexpected 45 minutes, mind you, and you know, for the sake of the fact that this is March, otherwise known as Intergalactic Shmappreciation Month. I finally busted out my copy of Akai Katana, which I had not played yet, but bought around Christmas time. It's on 360. It's made by Cave. It is exactly their fourth horizontal scrolling shmup, which is odd for them. The other three happen to be Pro Gear and then the first and second Death Smiles.
Mm-hmm.
Both Death Smiles made it over to America.
Yeah, yeah.
But I typically tend to be more of a fan of the vertical scrolling, but I had heard good things about this when it came out in mid-2012, so I'm like, I'll check it out. And, you know, after 45 minutes, it's hard to really, you know, have a huge impression of it. I died a lot because it's a cave game.
It's a shmup. It's a cave shmup.
Yeah, which means that there's lots and lots of bullets, but I don't really understand it. I haven't done any, like, reading to find out what the scoring mechanic is, so I have no idea how to even high score chase any of it or anything like that. And typically when I play shmups, I like to know that going in because it's just a habit that I try to create from the start. Like, I care less about making it all the way through the game, you know, without dying or anything like that. I'd much rather just see if I can beat my last score. Yeah. So the truth is that the vast majority of the time I see, like, the first two levels of any of these games because that's about how far I make it. And I don't
I've
have
seen the first two fucking levels at Karuga, and I've had that game forever.
Right, right. You know, so I, you know, I'm sitting there and, you know, I just kind of playing around. But, I mean, it's gorgeous in the way that cave games are gorgeous, really pretty and intricate bullet patterns, which I actually really like the aesthetic of. It sounds kind of strange considering those are the things you're supposed to be avoiding lest you die, but I don't know. That something about that, the patterns resonates with me. So I don't know. From that standpoint, it's really cool. So I'll play it some more and probably do some reading on what the scoring mechanic is and try it for a little while. I don't know. I never play those for terribly long, but I love them. You know, it's just, it's not something, I don't have the right frame of mind like DJ Incompetent or somebody who just sits there until he masters it kind of thing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, he does that.
Yeah. But I have such a huge appreciation for the genre, so I still pick them up. I mean, that came out middle of last year. I think when it first came out, it was $40, and now it's like, I don't know, 18, I think I bought it for. So, I mean, it's not like it's a huge investment either, you know. But I dig. So that was today. The other thing that happened was the past 2 days. Okay. A little bit of background. 2 weeks ago, I beat two games in 2 days, one of which was Dead Space, hence the 3-year joke, even though it's not accurate at all, Chris. Come on.
Whatever. it wasn't my joke, remember?
Was Dead Space and Hitman Absolution, both of which were
up. Oh, you actually beat that?
Yeah. Yeah. I was only like 3 or 4 missions away from the end of it, so it wasn't a terrible amount of time to finish it. But that like never happens. I never finish games that quick in succession. And I was totally floored by this. I talked about how crazy it was on the podcast. And then the fucked up part is I just did it again the past 2 days. the first game I beat, was Devil May Cry, the new one.
Okay.
Which is absolutely exceptional.
Yeah, I heard you talking about that on your last show.
I am so blown away at how good that is. And that is really surprising because there was nothing about Devil May Cry 1, 3, or 4 that I gave a damn about at all.
Oh, wow.
Like, it just, they never resonated with me.
Did you play Heavenly Sword or Enslaved?
The combat system in this is so good.
Yeah. To both of you.
Okay.
I played Enslaved and I played, the combat system is just incredible. The other part that's really messed up about it is that I don't typically enjoy games where they have the whole build your own combo kind of concept either. Like Bayonetta was never, I appreciated it for what it was, but I did not get nearly as excited about that as a lot of people did. I finished it. It was entertaining, but I have never had a desire or reason to go back to it. So if you give me a Devil May Cry game with a build-your-own combo system, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, I gotta try it because I love that style of game, but I was so expecting to think that it was entertaining at best, you know? But it just absolutely, completely resonated with me, the way that you can string things together and the creativity that goes into it, and just the fact that some of the moves he does are just so much fun to just watch happen if for no other reason. So it's just like I don't know. I'm totally blown away by it. So I finished it. I even started my Son of Sparta playthrough. I downloaded the Virgil DLC last night. Played just the first mission of it. It is considerably different.
That's what I've been hearing. Yeah.
Like just in total feel and everything, which is neat because that for I think it's like it's either like $8 or $9, but it is. It's exciting because, okay, the thing that is most appealing to me about Devil May Cry right at this point in time is that if I go into that game, I feel like there's 6 different things that I can do that will all probably be entertaining. So it's literally just a which one do I feel like playing right now, right?
Pretty much.
I can either do, hey, let's play some Son of Sparta stuff. I can go back to Nephilim to try and get the triple S on everything. I can... do the secret missions that I haven't done, which coincides with the collectibles I haven't gotten yet. Or I can do Virgil, or I can do the Bloody Palace DLC. So it's just like, for it being essentially, the same experience across the board, it feels like there's so much crap to do in it, and it's so appealing to me from that, and it's keeping it very, very new. So I'm very much so enjoying it, very impressed with that. I cannot recommend it enough. It is probably my favorite character action game of this generation.
Thank you. Well, yeah,
you're not the first one to say that, not on this podcast.
Yeah. Well, I actually said, like, I love people like, you're crazy, but it's actually might be my favorite game of this generation. I know people like, oh, it's still new, I don't know, but I beat that game twice within about 2 weeks, and I'm still playing it now. It's like, I can't think of another game where I've done that with, like, ever.
Right.
And I really, 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 really like it. And I'm getting the PC version this weekend, and I'm going to play through that at least twice. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go so far as to say favorite game of the generation, but definitely of that genre.
Character action. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mostly just because as much as I enjoy character action games, I really like strategy games, so like, much more so than character
XCOM.
Action. So something like XCOM kind of, I don't want to say it wins by default, but it already, before playing either one of them, it has a huge leg up kind of thing. So just a little bit of clarification there. But yeah, it is, and you know what? The beauty part of it for me is that I have absolutely no tie to the earlier Devil May Cries, right? So a lot of the whining that people had, whining's the wrong word, but a lot of the exceptions...
No.
Whining's the right word. That's right. You're good with that. You're fine with that.
I'm trying to be more PC, yo.
We're not PC on this show. Just say that shit. It's fine.
Whiny bitches. There we go.
But, you know, a lot of the exceptions that people took with it, you know, not being a Devil May Cry game or not liking the aesthetic or whatever, I don't have any of those. I don't have any ties to Devil May Cry, so right. I don't particularly care. And the thing that I appreciate the best is one of the things that Leo said on our show, is that he said it is an exceptional game, but it's not Devil May Cry, which is fine, you know, but that seems like I don't want people to not play it just because it's not a traditional or doesn't feel right or whatever. I don't give a shit. It's too good to have your little pettiness get in the way of that.
So true. The reason it's not Devil May Cry is just because it doesn't take it takes out all of the adventure aspects, everything. It's just strictly A to B, kicking shit's ass.
And right.
That's and I think it's better for the it needed a reboot. I mean, it's funny because people bitch and bitch about Devil May Cry 4, and they, oh, it needs to do something different or whatever all stuff. And then they do something different. Oh no, it's not like Devil May Cry 4. That's why whiny bitches make sense. That's what they are.
That's just people's inability to actually mean what they say and know what they want. but yeah, I got no answer to that. But I absolutely love it. I think it's really, really fun. And like I said, it really surprised me. It doubly surprised me because I'm like, well, people are saying that Ninja Theory did a good job, but really? Really? Like, I don't have a problem with Ninja Theory games, but if you tell me that they're going to build a super technical build-your-own-combo system, I just laugh.
Like, no.
No. You're the...
That was my biggest fucking scare, like, when it was announced. I don't know if, Chris, you remember, like, when they showed it, I was like, I wasn't a big fan of
Yeah, the aesthetics combat. Of and the aesthetics of Dante in general.
No, no, I had nothing wrong with the aesthetics of Dante.
Oh, really?
I
thought you did.
I was fine with that. I had no problem with that at all. It was like when the first like videos came out of gameplay, I was like, oh, because the early videos did not look as smooth or didn't show you half the options you can do. And I was like, man, Ninja Theory just does not have a great combat system in any of the games that they've released so far. And I was like, I don't think they're going to do a good job with this. And then they fucking blew me away. I was like, fuck, he nailed it. This is like, what? Good. Now let's see a fucking Heavenly Sword 2 fucking sequel, if Sony will let them. But
right.
That'd be game.
I mean, I could have seen Ninja Theory putting together a game that had a complex combat system, but I did not think that it was going to be and feel nearly as tight as this does. I mean, this is just, like, super responsive, and if Dante is doing something that you don't want him to do, it's because you messed up. It's not because of some weird, you know, lag or some glitch or something like that. And there were times in Enslaved where I swear, you know, I'm like, you are not doing what I said, monkey.
Monkey, do what I tell you to.
Right? So that was the first game that I finished. The second game that I finished was another exceptional ride that was much less technically involved, that being Journey.
Oh, nice.
I finally... But after Chris came on our show and talked it up.
And kind of raved about it.
Was the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak. So I went into the store like within a day or two of that, and I saw it was $15, and I'm like, I can't buy it right now. There's just way too much stuff that I have to play right now that I know it'll go on sale again, whatever, I can wait. You know?
And like a week and a half later.
I mean, I've gotten in the with PS Plus, and this might be... this very well could be intentional on their part, but because of PS Plus, I sit there every week. Come Tuesday night, I got to check what's on the store.
Yeah, what's discounted? What's free?
Yeah, what do it's I get like, for free? What exactly. do I get? You know, is there anything that
what
I
are you
can
doing to make my
$50
right. worth it? You know,
right. And of course, there's the PS Plus discount. It's like $7 or $8.
$7.50.
Like, well,
right? Yeah.
Fuck. Okay, I'm buying it. It took me a little while to get to it, and Sarah ended up having some stuff to do last night, because I knew enough from what people said that I wanted to at least try to fit it all into one play session. I started it up last night and ended up having enough time, and it ended up being shorter than I expected it to.
It is very short.
But
I told you it was about 2 hours.
I don't even think it took me 2 hours.
Yeah. See, I don't think it took me that long either, and I could have swore, or at least my memory was telling me 2 to 3. So to get, you know, an hour and a half, hour 45 out of something you thought was 2 to 3 makes it seem even shorter. That's not really a complaint, though. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not bitching about it. I would guess I was just surprised that I had more free time last night. But that game is... it's... Okay. I will never, ever consider that as, like, a Game of the Year contender. Like, someone asked me today, you know, if I would have played it last year, would I have considered it for Game of the Year? And I absolutely, without a doubt, said no. Mostly because Game of the Year to me means something different than Experience of the Year. Like, I don't look at that. The time that I spent with that as being a game. Like, it didn't feel like that to me. It was much more about the...
go ahead, you can say it. The pun is there.
What?
It was about the journey.
No, oh no, that's not what I was going to go for. I was going to go for the emotion that it evokes.
Yeah.
Like, I think that that is one of the most mesmerizing, mystifying and interesting experiences that I have ever gone through. But I don't think about it like a game. Like I at no point in time during playing was I sitting there thinking, this is fun. But
I see that. Did you have somebody with you most of the time?
A lot of it.
Okay. That's then. I don't know if you're like me, but could you see yourself playing that game by yourself?
There were moments in that game that were 10 times more powerful because there was somebody else there.
Exactly. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah.
If
by myself, I don't think I could do it. I probably wouldn't even gotten through the whole thing, to be honest.
Yeah, and it's not even from a cooperative standpoint. It's just these little moments of where you are experiencing it with someone else that makes it amazing. And I was super skeptical of that whole whole multiplayer aspect of it to begin with. Like, I had heard stories, you know, and people said it was neat and they can tell these little tales of certain things. I'm like, come on, that's really? But there's just something about, like, this, there are just certain sections in that game that I'm certainly not going to describe because it would be a complete disservice to anybody who wants to play it,
yeah.
But it was just, I don't know. I literally, when I set it down, I'm like, fuck. You know, that was just like, it was, I cannot even put into words, like, the sine curve that your emotions and caring about not only your character and the world, but also your experience of the game. Like, at first, and this might be because we sit here on podcasts and we talk about games, you know, in a critical fashion. You know, I do truly think that that might hinder our enjoyment of games in general, just because we are overly analytical of these things, right? It took me probably a half an hour, 45 minutes before I shut my brain off to, I'm playing Journey. You know, like, I'm looking and I'm, okay, I see what you're doing here. Okay, you know, oh, look, there's that other guy. And okay, I can see how this floating thing is kind of interesting. Okay, I can see what people were talking about. But somewhere in there, half hour, 45 minutes in, I can't pinpoint it on something. I lost that whole, like, cerebral, I'm contextualizing this, and just started being part of the game. And from that point on, I was just absolutely floored at how well it did those things. And like I said, how mesmerizing the world is and how, like, mystical it is. Like, it's not even a it looks good thing. It's just, there were just certain points in time where it was like I could feel myself catching my breath at something. Not because it was pretty, but just because of the emotion that was going into that scene. And that's so fucking weird because I don't get like that with games. Like, at all. Like the last time where I probably felt any sort of emotion towards a game might have been Eris. And how fucking long ago was that?
Yeah, no shit. That was like 90s.
Forever ago.
And I mean, there were parts in Walking Dead, as an example, that did it. But that game, it was hard to not notice you were playing a game because it's a fucking buggy mess. And that was one of my favorite games of last year. You know, so it's like, it is very weird for the notion of playing a game and me to be as disconnected as they were with this one. I'm just, I don't know. And that's why I can't really call it a game. It felt more like an extension and almost like a puppeteer kind of, like, with, I'm going to play with what you're feeling and thinking at this point in time and you're not going to know it. You know, I don't know. It was an experience, and it would have been worth the $15. I'm kind of upset that I didn't give them more money. I mean, you said that, and it's not that I didn't believe you, but we've had these discussions before. I'm skeptical of a lot of times people saying anything.
Oh, yeah,
like
absolutely.
That, you know?
Absolutely.
I have to be, otherwise I would buy everything under the sun.
True enough.
But, yeah, it was, I don't know, it was cool. I immediately, like, texted Leo. I was like, you have to play this. Because I know with his love for certain styles of games that I've seen him really enjoy, I just know that that would be something he would be amazed by.
Right.
I don't know. It was cool. It was really, really cool.
Yeah, it's a really, really cool experience all around.
Yeah, I think everyone should at least try it out.
Yeah. And
experience it. It's different for sure.
I do wonder, though, and I heard, like, Giant Bomb talking about this before I even played it, but I forget who it was, Jeff maybe, who who stopped playing it because of a particular experience that he had with, like, his partner that was bad.
Yeah, I think he said something about, like, he couldn't believe that you can actually troll in a game that didn't have voice, like, voice chat.
Right.
He was, yeah, I remember, yeah, it rings a bell, but I can't remember the exact reasoning.
Right. So, I mean, I have to wonder if part of my experience was just because, like, I wonder if everyone will have the same cooperative experiences that I had. And cooperative is the wrong word. Social experiences that I had in that game. Because I think that had a large part to making it feel as cool as it did.
Right, right.
So I don't know.
Have any of those cool moments where you're like, the guy, like definitely the people I was playing with, at least for one session, the guys obviously played the game before, and he's like showing me where some secrets
were. Yeah, and they're really good at, yeah, they're really good about doing that.
Yeah,
they're like, they'll like use their little voice button or whatever it is, like the tone that they give you, and then they'll call you over and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I showed me, and I was like, I don't know how to say thanks. So I just went, dun, dun, like twice, and he went, dun, dun, dun. Like, that's awesome. Like,
right.
That's so cool.
And I mean, and yeah, I definitely had a couple of those moments, like where we're just walking down a hallway or something where nothing is going on, and one of us goes, bloom, 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 you know, yeah. And then the other one kind of does something back, you know, and you're not necessarily trying to convey a particular emotion, but the fact that your communication is simplified that much is just, it just plays into everything.
Yeah.
And I just hope that, that other people will, I would like to think that those experiences are more common than the one that, like, Jeff from Giant Bomb had. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
I wonder, like, I can't say it without spoiling anything, but there were certain segments of the game where I thought to myself after the fact, had I gone through that by myself, would I have felt the same way that I did?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And yeah, that would not be, it wouldn't have been the same thing at all.
Right.
I don't think, anyway.
And with it being so far after release, you know, I played with like 7 or 8 different people, you know, in the span of whatever I said, hour and a half or whatever. So it's not like it, you know, that's a good number of people. So there evidently is still people playing. But if somebody takes too long and they're playing at a bad time of the day, you know, do they get that then? I don't know.
But, yeah.
I don't know. But very, very cool. Very impressed. But that's all I got.
Cool. All right, Jeff, what do you got?
All right, I got some stuff. What I'm playing. I'm playing more Forza Horizon, even though I kind of beat it. I'm still going through and wrapping up some races here and there. I started playing Bioshock this week again, the first one.
Why?
Why? I never beat it when I first got it, and then I'm kind of getting the hype for Infinite, and then playing that game with the headphones. That game's fucking a lot scarier than I remember it.
It's a creepy environment, I'll give them that.
Yeah, for sure. Kind of holds up still a little bit. I mean, Bioshock 2 did a lot of things better. The fact that you can dual wield, for one, it's a pain having to switch from plasmid to weapon in Bioshock 1. Like, going back to that feels kind of slow. And there's no block mechanics, so that's kind of annoying when you're doing melee stuff, but I don't think I'll get through it, to be honest. I was just throwing it in there, be like, hey, let's see what this Bioshock thing was. Let's see if I can get back into it. And,
that was,
yeah, I don't know.
That was pretty much the experience that I had with it the first time around. It was that everybody was like, oh my God, Bioshock, you gotta play it. And I got, I don't know, a few hours into it. I mean, I played it a decent chunk and it just wore off. Like, I was like, this
That's
just
kind of
isn't
what happened
really interesting enough. I mean, really impressive world. Like, I really
That's the best character in the game. Is the
right.
World.
But it's, I mean, the rest of it, I'm just like, it's not a ton of fun. I don't know. I know I'm kind of out there on my own, or maybe we're out on our own here, because, I mean, lots of people love that game, but.
Yeah, my biggest problem was that you're fighting the same enemies kind of over and over, and there's not really, the world isn't really populated, and Infinite does look like it is, so I think that'll add stuff into it, and there's not really enough. Like, I know set pieces can be overused, but I felt like when I think of like cool moments in Bioshock, I think of the first half an hour, and that's about it.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, there was a cool part where I had to fight some dude who was like a painter, so I don't know, whatever. And the whole reveal, I didn't even get to see that in games. I didn't get that far. I just finally cracked and red spoilers and stuff. And I was like, oh yeah, that's kind of cool. But it didn't, you know, it didn't engage me enough to get to that point while I was playing it.
To this day, I still don't know what it is.
No? You want to just know? No?
I don't care. I've just never gone looking for it.
Gotcha.
Like I'm not trying to keep it a secret. It's just I've never bothered.
Never bothered.
Which might tell you my impression of it. Atlas.
You know Atlas, the guy who's talking to you the entire time?
Right.
He's actually the bad dude. He's kind of brainwashed you, so every time you say, would you kindly, he's giving you an order, and you do it. And then you go back, and you're like, yeah. It's kind of one of those things like Sixth Sense when you go back, and you're like, holy shit, he says would you kindly a lot. And then, yeah, he's actually the guy going against Andrew Ryan. So it's, yeah. Anyway, spoilers.
That's interesting.
Statue of Limitations is way past. We can spoil the fuck out of Bioshock, so... That's what happened.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure anybody who cared knows by now.
Exactly. Yeah, but I do want to, like, I really do like the environment. It's just the gameplay just isn't really engaging for me. So that's big. That's why I think that's why, like, Devil May Cry, why I think it's, like, could possibly be my favorite game of this gen is just because I don't get bored of it when I play it. Like, I can sit there and be like, do I really feel like playing Devil May Cry? I don't know, but I'll pop it in. And then when I start playing it, I'm playing it. Like, I'm not sitting there just playing it for, like, 15 minutes. I'll play until, like, my entire time for gaming is done or whatever.
Yeah, I've had several sessions of that where my thought process was, I have 3 hours. I'm going to play an hour or an hour and a half of Devil May Cry and then switch to Ni No Kuni, which I've unfortunately totally been neglecting ever since.
And then 4 hours later.
Yeah, ever since Joel lent me Devil May Cry, I've totally been neglecting that. And then, yeah, and inevitably I end up going, well, I can fit in another mission. Oh, God.
Yep.
It's not healthy for me.
Yeah. Now if you want to go to bed in time or play other games that you spent money on.
Right.
I'm playing Metal Gear Rising.
Okay.
Through again, still. Again, I think that game is the best play the second time through because you actually know what you're doing. And it's a lot of fun. I think you would like it, Scott.
I want to get it. I just don't want to pay full price for it.
Yeah, I can see that.
And that's where I'm at right now, too, so.
After the demo, I thought that it would be entertaining enough. It's just, it didn't hook me
right away,
enough to, like, to drop $60 on it. So
I
figured around the $40 price range or so that I'd pick it up. I mean, I don't care at all about the Metal Gear story, so I don't, none of that has any meaning to me, but I do think that that game would be pretty satisfying by the end of it if you're starting to really, you know, have things click for you and whatnot.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's outside of the camera. It's a really good combat engine. It's it reminded me of a cross between Bayonetta and Ninja Gaiden. If you're like clashed those together, it was kind of similar.
Okay.
But it's fun. I like it. It's still ridiculous, of course, in every way. But then again, so was Bayonetta, and I love the shit out of that game.
So was Devil May Cry.
Oh yeah, exactly.
True enough.
But yeah, it'll probably be. I wouldn't be surprised if it's cheap, like in a month or two, not even 2 months from now, because it's platinum. So unless I can really ride that price tag because of the Metal Gear title, it should probably be $40 relatively soon,
right?
Depending on how it's selling. More Sly Cooper. I played that on the PS3, and then was like, after about 5-10 minutes, I was like, I'm gonna play this on the Vita instead.
Hmm.
I played it on the Vita.
Oh really?
Half an hour. As a PlayStation 3 game, it's just very meh. It just seems, I don't know, it's totally psychological because I'm doing the same shit in either one. Just on a Vita, it just seems like it's better there, and it just that it suits a portable more than a fucking console that I paid $600, $700 for or whatever.
I can definitely see that.
Yeah, it's cool that I basically say I bought the Vita version for $40 and got the PS3 version for free because that's the one I've been playing mostly. And I honestly think it, outside of some cool, like, other different weird particle effects I have in the PS3 version, I actually really do think it looks better on the Vita just because that screen on that thing's awesome.
The
colors are so vibrant. But gameplay-wise, it's identical on both, and I don't know what it is. I cannot play it on my PS3. I guess I'm sitting there, I'm like, I could be playing something else. And then when I go to bed, I'm like, I'm going to play some Sly.
There is just a certain mentality that I get in when it comes to playing portable games that totally makes sense to me. It's like Mutant Blobs Attack. I absolutely loved on the Vita, but if you gave that to me on the PS3, I wouldn't have fucking touched it.
Exactly. It's totally it. It's really weird.
Right.
But it's worth it. I mean, you get two games for $40. So, and it's a good platformer.
Mm-hmm.
I downloaded a trial. I didn't buy this game, but it's called Phantom Breaker Battlegrounds. Have you guys heard of this?
I heard of it. I don't know anything about
it. Yeah, I've heard of it as well.
It's like a, it's a side-scrolling beat-em-up, kind of like, it's not really like Streets of Rage. It's more like Guardian Heroes, where you fight on two planes, but you can't freely roam the two planes. You basically hit a button to go to the top frame, hit a button to go to the bottom frame, so you're going in and out of the kind of foreground to background, and you're these anime girls with weapons and stuff.
Death
and
Smiles? Looks, what?
It kind of looks like that, like, to be honest. Like, it's kind of, it's got that same kind of aesthetic to it, and it's got the graphics of kind of like the Scott Pilgrim beat-em-up game. Very pixelated. Okay. Like a 16-bit kind of deal. At first, I was really impressed. Like, this game is actually pretty good. It's like a pretty decent combo system, and you do kind of cool stuff. But then, literally, the demo, that's all you're doing for the demo, just beating up dudes over and over again, and they didn't show you any kind of different kind of variety in gameplay. So I was kind of like, I went from like being like, I might possibly buy this to, yeah, if this is what the whole game's going to be, I'm not going to. But it was a really good trial. Like, for the trial, I was like, this is actually pretty cool. But it's, I was going to ask you guys if you heard, because every single thing in the tutorial we're telling you how to do stuff, it shows a joystick and a button. Like, it, so I was wondering if this is kind of weird, like, Japanese arcade game that got ported over on Xbox Live. But I don't know if they just did that to, you know, like, nostalgia factor or whatever, but, it seemed alright. You can give it a shot if you like kind of side-scrolling beat-em-ups that look like 16-bit games, so.
Right. Right.
And then the other game, Chris, we knew both of that, so we'll get to that in like a bit. I'll let you go over what you've been playing before that.
Okay.
And I'm done. That's all I've been playing besides the regular Street Fighter and stuff.
Okay. Well, I'll start out with, I beat Ni No Kuni.
Nice.
Yay.
Ended up, so last week I talked about how I was at the final boss and how it was the first time I actually felt underpowered when I got to an enemy. And I also talked a little bit about, how easy they make it to grind in that situation. There's a few places in the game where they basically have, like metal slimes from Dragon Quest. And they're not really metal slimes, but they give you as much experience. It's that kind of enemy. And, so I spent maybe a half an hour just fighting these dudes, and I went from level 67 to like level 75, something like that.
How long did you spend? 5 minutes?
30 minutes. Maybe 30 minutes.
30 minutes.
Yeah, maybe half an hour. Okay. It's one of those things where like one version, like the, you know how it's, the different evolutions of the genus. The second evolution of the genus of this particular enemy gives you...
You said genus.
Gives you 10,000 experience.
Oh, jeez.
For one enemy. And the next one that you actually fight in the very final dungeon gives you 30,000 experience. And that is easily enough to get you up two levels, with one enemy. So it's, they give you, you know, if you're underpowered at the end of the game, they give you a very easy way to level up quickly. So that came in very handy, ended up beating the game, and then immediately went back to it and started doing the post game stuff. Another game came out, which we will talk about later. So I've put, I want to try and do everything in this game. What I've decided to do is not focus on it. It's going to be one of those things where I casually do side quests. Like today I played for maybe a half an hour before the podcast and, I finished two side quests. So that's kind of what I'm doing at this point.
That's a good way to do some of that stuff too, especially like you or I who have limited time, because otherwise it just,
right.
It takes the fun out of it, because all you're doing is focusing on just some checklist, you know?
Yeah, and the thing about it is like, you know, traditional Japanese RPG grinding, I didn't feel like I had any of that in this game, except for, until the end when I had to, you know, when I powered up a little bit for the last boss. But it really starts after you finish the game. Like that post completion stuff, a lot of that is very, very grindy. Like, go get, you know, you have to, craft this particular item, and you need this weapon, and five of these, and five of these. Oh, and by the way, these items that you need to get are rare drops from rare enemies. It's like, oh, great, thanks.
Right.
So that's kind of the situation that they put you in at the end. So you don't, I didn't really feel like any of that up till that point, because there's always an objective. You know, you always have something you can be doing. Right. But once I got to that post game stuff, it's like a lot of that is very, very grindy. But you know, other than that, it was fucking fantastic game. I loved every second of it. So that is Ni No Kuni, and I will continue to.
So is it, sorry, real quick before you move off at Ni No Kuni. So is the post game actual post game? Like your save file is after killing the last guy, you're still doing stuff?
Well, you save the game after you finish the game.
Okay.
But they actually put you back right before you go fight the final boss.
Oh, so they do it like, 13 then. Final Fantasy 13. Okay.
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
There's just a ton of stuff left to do. It's like I went to a town and like checked the errand board and checked the bounty hunts, and there were like 10 more bounty hunts and like 8 more side quests and, you know, just lots and lots of stuff.
And those are probably like the 10 hardest, you know, bosses in the game kind of thing.
Well, no, there is one particular bounty hunt that is apparently the hardest enemy in the game, but I think that's the last bounty.
Okay.
So a lot of the bounties that I'm doing right now have been relatively easy for the level I'm at. Okay. They're pulling a Mega Man on me right now, because you actually have to go to. It looks like I'm going to end up going to all the dungeons and finding all the bosses again. So, oh.
Hmm.
Yeah. But they're like dark, more challenging versions of the bosses.
Sure. So. Okay.
But yeah, great game. Anybody who likes JRPGs, I highly suggest it.
You still as high on it as you were at the start?
I am. Yeah, I really am. It's got its issues. No game is perfect, right? I mean, it's got its issues. Like one of the things that really bugs me is I have all of my characters on the tactics menu. I have all my characters set to keep us healthy. Just so everybody's healing everybody. So when I need to, like if I have a familiar that gets charmed, if I have an enemy that gets charmed in the middle of battle and I switch to Esther to use the serenade ability, right. While I'm using the serenade ability, Oliver will cast, ward. Which is like it's magic defense for everybody, and that basically cancels out Esther's serenade.
Oh,
it's really weird how that works. It's like sometimes it'll cue shit up, and sometimes it won't. So sometimes you'll be casting a spell, and maybe an enemy spell goes off first, and that enemy spell sometimes it'll cue yours up, and yours will go next. But if the same thing happens and it's one of your party members, like you'll have to redo your spell. It's really weird how that works.
Hmm.
It was never a huge issue where it broke the game for me, but right. It's one of those annoyances, one of those minor annoyances that kind of made me like, you know, you probably should have thought about that a little better.
Which is funny too, because they did so many things in that system really well.
Yeah, and I mean, they make everything so easily approachable, and everything is so streamlined. Like all the side quests are so streamlined. It's like,
right.
I heard I don't know who was talking about it, but it's like they were saying, you know, with the whole Piece of Heart side quests, it's like, yeah, apparently, you know, they basically show you where to go, so you're just running from one place to the other, and he was complaining about it that way, and I'm like. Yeah, but if they didn't show you where the guy was, you'd be complaining that you had to go around and talk to everybody to figure out who it was. You know, it's like,
right.
It's one of those things where you can't please everyone. You know, everyone's right. going to have a problem. But I thought everything was extremely streamlined, and it made everything very easy to do for me. I really, really, really enjoyed it. And I hope that you and Adam get back to it, because I think you guys are going to. You get hit in the face with like two or three curveballs all within like a 4 or 5 hour stretch. And, where the story really starts to take a turn and just kind of baffles you a little bit. Once you get to that, I think it's going to, you know, you'll kind of shake your head and be like, what? But, great experience front to back.
Yeah. I definitely want to make it back. Like I said, I got distracted.
Yeah. No doubt. I mean,
can't help it.
Yeah. I've been. What's that?
I said distracted by sleep.
Well, we're always distracted by sleep, no matter what game it is. You gotta sleep sometime.
I know.
Oh, but how cool would it be if you didn't have to?
Oh, man. Trust me. I've been looking into that.
Genie in a bottle. That's like my second wish after I want more wishes.
I wish I never want to sleep. I never want to have to sleep again.
I am dead serious, man. No sleep, no shower, no eat. All three of those in my book just wasted time. Like if I could socially, like if it was socially acceptable for me to reek all to high heaven, I would fucking do it.
I enjoy showers. I mean, they it's like sometimes I just sit in the shower under
some
the hot
people
water.
People live
nice.
With that mentality, Scott. They just
yeah, that's
think
true.
It actually is socially acceptable.
That is true.
No, I'm talking about the mandatory showers. There are points in time where a shower feels fucking awesome. But
oh,
I just
yeah,
mean
for
like
sure.
Every day, fuck that. That's a run of my terrible my terrible skills in a shmup that I could have fit
there
in that
you go.
Time.
I also played the Castlevania demo.
I'm sorry.
Oh, what do you think about that? Yeah, exactly.
Well, how do I go
it's
into this?
Bad. This is really bad.
So I didn't have the issues with the frame rate and stuff. And from what I understand,
well, there's no difference between having issues with it or seeing that it's there. You did see that there was huge frame rate issues, though, right?
I didn't see huge frame rate issues. I saw frame rate issues here and there, but. From what I understand, the retail version is better at that. So I'm not okay. Putting that as a knock against that. Not a knock against it. However, it's fucking Lords of Shadow in 2D. That's all it is.
I don't even think it's that.
It is. I mean, it's Lords of
like
Shadow,
Lords of Shadow,
but it's mashy. It's like mashy Lords of Shadow in
Lords
2D.
Lords of Shadow was mashy. But it doesn't feel like
Lords yeah, but
of Shadow.
Lords of Shadow Lords of had like the attacks had weight and the attacking like strings had finishers.
It had weight. It yeah. had you can move in a 3D area.
And this doesn't
this
have any
doesn't
of that.
Feel like that at all. No. All it has is combos. That's the only thing it has in common, I think, with Lords of Shadow.
Yeah, it's like eternal whipping, and that's it. And it's like whip, roll backwards, whip, roll
no
backwards.
No weight. The jumping feels floaty and heavy at the same time, which I don't even know how that's even possible.
Yeah. Yeah, I was not impressed. I was not. It is a game that I will still pick up when it's cheap. You know, when
buy
I
it used, don't get them the satisfaction.
No, I mean
it's so bad, dude. It's
yeah, I know. But
even
I would,
the good reviews, when you read them, they read like they're terrible. But they're like, oh, but it's not too bad. Like actually, one of the best reviews I saw on it was actually Game Informer, not Game Informer, Game Trailers. You should watch that review.
I did watch that review. I did.
Yeah,
watch
then they
review.
Gave it like a. 6.8.
Yeah, they gave it like a 6.8, and they said, yeah, it eventually starts picking up, and it starts making, you know, it starts making
yeah,
it feel
Yeah, they
better.
Say it's still kind of fun,
yeah.
but it's
and,
not.
And I really think that, from what I understand, that demo is a horrible representation of the game. But it doesn't defeat the fact that the combat was, I mean, shallow is even too nice of a word. You know, it just didn't feel good at all.
Like, the combat in Streets of Rage is miles above that game. And Streets of Rage came out in what, like fucking 92?
Yeah, at least Streets of Rage had finishing, you know.
Yeah.
And the other thing is like, and this isn't, you know, I can't really blame Mercury Steam for this, but fucking the DS has the buttons backwards and it fucks me up when I'm doing
and
QuickTime
to
events.
Fucking analog nub or the
frickin'. Oh yeah, that drives me nuts too. It's like I play a 2D game, I want to use a D-pad, and yeah,
especially
use the nub.
When it's idle, you don't move. You push it a little bit forward, he walks. Push it all the way forward, he kind of runs.
I would rather double tap to run.
Yeah, because that is so bad. What if you need to stop on a dime? You can't, because it's going to go through those three animations before it actually stops. It drove me nuts. I was like, why?
Yeah. There were some bad decisions made.
You can't adjust the buttons at all, I take it?
Well, you can't switch what you're playing with, because the D-pad is used for something else. Later on, it selects your sub weapons, and I would actually rather than put the selection of the sub weapons on the analog stick. I mean, shit, it's not like it's that much different. But you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, I just don't. I was not impressed at all, and it's really hard for me to say because I did love Lords of Shadow, and I am a huge Castlevania fan, and you know, this game just did nothing for me. So I basically got through the demo and I closed my DS and I was like, all right, guess I'm waiting for that for until it's $20.
That just saved me $50.
Okay, so let me break this down for the common man. Castlevania fanboy who loved Lords of Shadow says this game is at best.
Yes.
Which means translated into normal speak, steaming pile of monkey shit.
Pretty much, yeah.
And that's the thing. It's like it's hard to judge from the demo because everything I've read and everything I've heard from people that have played the full game have said that the demo is a bad representation of the game, but it doesn't defeat that the combat is going to feel like that, and the combat was just boring. I mean, I would rather him have just been whipping like Simon Belmont in Castlevania 1. I would have rather that.
It depends on who these people are. The people that went out and bought the game and are trying to justify why they paid money for it and that it's not that bad, or is it people that you actually trust, even though they spent $50 on it, can objectively be like, yeah, I wasted $50.
Let's just say this. One of these people is someone who basically trolls Lord of Shadow and played the demo and then went out and bought the game after playing the demo. So. It's an unusual situation, but I mean, his thought on it was, it seems like the polarization of the people that think about it is like, if you like Lords of Shadow, you're not going to like this. If you like this, you probably didn't like Lords of Shadow. So
if you like good gameplay and tight gameplay and reactive gameplay of any other Castlevania game, you will not like
this. If you like 2D Castlevania, you will not like this. That's what it boils down to.
If you like 2D Castlevania, go back to the Nintendo.
Yeah, pretty much. If you like fun, stay as far away as possible.
Any previous 2D Castlevania is good, except for this one.
Yeah. You know, the ones on PS2 aren't that bad, I guess. But
aren't those 3D?
They are 3D, yeah.
They are. Mm-hmm. I was going to say even the 3D ones. I was thinking the one that first came to mind is that N64 one, but I never actually...
That game was horrible. Game is horrible.
All right.
And the game that dragged me away from Ni No Kuni...
Yes.
That came out on Tuesday. Tomb Raider.
Uncharted.
Damn, I was hoping you were going to say SimCity.
SimCity.
No.
I'm dead serious. I want that game, but I'm going to wait until it's not
It looks
broken.
Cool. I just
A lot of people like it. It's not my type of game, so no, I'm not even going to bother. So.
Yeah,
it's just been like 15 years since I played one of those, and it just sounds entertaining from that standpoint.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Before we go into the game, I swear that Eidos and Crystal Dynamics did a reverse bait and switch on her boobs. Because when they first showed
they're much bigger than they were when they first showed her.
Well, yeah, when they first showed on the Game Informer, when the recreation, she was like, you know, like probably like a B cup or whatever, like, you know, nothing protruded. It was an average woman. And now they're like, they're not huge, not like Tomb Raider, like of old school, but they're definitely a high C for sure.
They're D at least.
Interactive distractions, bringing you hard-hitting news that you care about.
Hey, everybody needs to know about boobs.
Entertainment.
Right? That is the way it works. You know, it's really what it's all about. People only play video games to see boobs. That's what it's all about.
I just think it's funny. This is the first thing that you guys have to talk about.
Well, that's why I wanted to get rid of it out of the way first. I was like, before we get into the game, let's just... lay this on the table.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Oh, look, a handbag, and she's distracted.
I think it was...
look at her. Dropped her on purpose because he wants to see her tits.
Yeah, if you... Yeah, that's right. Just looking at her cleavage. Yeah, for those who haven't seen that, check out the Conan O'Brien... what's it called? The
non-gamer reviews?
Clueless Gamer.
It was awesome. Clueless Gamer.
Yeah. It's really, really funny. But I think they were smart on that. They were like, hey, let's make our boobs all small and stuff, and then... when we'll slowly make them bigger and no one will notice, instead of going the opposite way where we've got attention and being like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Good on them. But anyway, now let's talk about the game.
I really like this game. It's, I joked around saying it's Uncharted, but it's funny because we used to talk about how Uncharted basically stole everything from Tomb Raider, and now it's, you know, a reversal where,
it's gone full circle.
This game feels like Uncharted to me. Except for the bow combat. Which is what you were talking about. The gun combat, I don't like at all. But the bow combat,
are you kidding me?
I don't like the gun combat at all. It feels
100 times better than Uncharted.
I don't think so. I think Uncharted is better gun combat.
Oh, okay.
I do because I don't know why.
It's just that Uncharted was better gun combat than anything.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't feel like Uncharted was overly sensitive. But like every time I try and move with a gun, I just feel like I can never place the cursor on my target. And I never had that problem with Uncharted.
Can you move in a diagonal?
Yes. You
yeah.
Can.
You guys don't you guys don't remember that with Uncharted?
Oh yeah, Uncharted 3. You couldn't even move a diagonal. Yeah.
They fixed it with a patch, but originally you couldn't move diagonal. Yep.
Oh, on the first
you'd
one,
you'd move the aim in a circle; it'd go in a square.
Right.
Huh. Really I don't. I honestly don't remember well enough to even think about that. But
well, then my joke totally falls flat.
It does. Regardless, the bow is awesome.
The bow is awesome.
I love using the bow because not only is it nice and silent. And you can actually sneak around and take out guys that way. But, you know, I just think that it's portrayed very well in the way that she uses it. And, you know, I don't know. I think they just do a really good job of showing how you would use a bow in the different positions that she would be in. Like if she's ducking down and she holds it one way, and there was actually one point where she was like leaning over backwards and kind of like trying to stay in cover and leaning over backwards to shoot a guy. And, you know, just lots of different. And I mean, this is all a visual thing. It's like it's all about the animation.
It's like contextual stuff, yeah. Depending on where you're shooting.
But yeah. But it was all very accurate. I thought it was really, really cool.
And, oh, they do a really good job of that. Like Uncharted did. Like it's.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bang on with that stuff.
Yeah. All of that cinematic effect and the situational animations are great. They're fantastic.
It looks really good. I think it's one of those games where I look at it and I'm like, you know, this generation probably still could go a couple years for those people who really don't want that yeah. next big leap. Like yeah. it'll still impress us.
You're on 360, right?
Yes,
I am. Yeah, me too.
It's unreal, that's why. It's like obviously.
Oh, is it unreal?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I just saw that 360 was lead platform, and I was like, okay, I'll take it on
yeah,
there.
I'm almost positive it's Unreal, because I'm pretty sure Eidos and Square, they signed something with Unreal a while ago that majority of the games are going to be on Unreal.
Okay.
So.
Well, I'm glad I got it on PS1 360 then.
So, yeah.
Yay for good. X86 it's... on the PS4.
Sorry. Exactly. No kidding. All that shit's going to be fine.
Yeah. How far are you?
I'm about an hour and a half to 2 hours. I don't know. I can't put an exact time on it. I just put it in yesterday when Tanya went to bed and just played it. And then I was like, I got to a part where I thought was a good time to stop. And then it was close after you find your first tomb. That's like optional.
I think I missed the first one.
Oh, did you?
I think so.
So you didn't get the map?
Mm-mm. No.
Oh, okay. Because you get the map in the first tomb. That's what you get for going in the first tomb.
Yeah, I missed it. I missed it then.
How did you miss it? It's like basically a big fucking arrow when you get there. Be like, go here.
Yeah, I don't know how I missed it, but like I found another one later, and it was blatantly obvious where it was. You know.
Well, to be honest, the first one isn't blatant. It tells you there's a tomb here, and if you look to the right, there's kind of like a waterfall, but you see like an opening. So I can see it is kind of hard to miss. So you don't have a map yet?
No.
Mm-mm. Oh, okay. You should probably go back and get that because it does give you a map and it shows you where all the hidden stuff is, basically.
Yeah, I haven't gotten the map of all the hidden stuff.
Yeah, you should check that out.
All right. I might. Well, I mean, that's the great thing. So this game it's not really open world, but it's very stage driven, basically. But, when you get from one area to the next, the areas themselves are kind of open world. And then you can.
It's like Crysis is based, like Crysis 2 and 3. It's like not open.
Okay.
But it's not as linear as something like Uncharted. It's like you go into an area and you kind of have your own way to tackle it. But it's still A is one side, B is where you need to get to.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
does it choke down to a point then?
Yes.
On the opposite
does.
Side?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, it's definitely a point A to point B, but how you get to point B and like what you do in between those two areas is completely up to you. And then you can fast travel back to previous camps in order to like go pick up stuff that you might have missed. So I missed a map, apparently. So I'm gonna fast travel back and see if I can find that map.
Yeah.
So is it? I've heard it like called like minor Metroidvania because you get
it is
certain
kind of
things
yeah,
later on.
Apparently,
I think you get like traversal navigation kind of things later on that open.
Yeah, like
up
you do, but it's not stuff that's integral to the game though. It's not like the main game will take you pretty much moving forward, but if you want to go back to find tombs,
right,
like
right,
that,
right, it's for the optional stuff.
You get those things.
Right.
So yeah,
it's all like, optional side quest stuff. But like one of those things is you get like a climbing axe that that will actually help you. It like digs into the walls of rock and helps you climb up walls. Mm-hmm. So, and that's just an example of one of the items that you get.
Right.
You know, so, but yeah, it does have that. And, you know, I have a feeling what I'm going to end up doing with this game is, you know, it's going to be similar to how I played Uncharted. I'll finish the game and then I'll go back and I'll look for all the treasures and stuff. And that's how I played Uncharted.
I'll play the same, but I didn't do that in Uncharted because Uncharted, you literally...
Because it's completely linear, you have to start the stage all over.
Exactly. Yeah. And in like Tomb Raider, the extra stuff is tombs. Like, and each tomb has a puzzle in it. So if you really like that Tomb Raider aspect of solving puzzles, you want to go to these secret tombs because that's where you solve the puzzles. That's where most of the puzzle solving is. So, and there, most of them, from what I read, are optional. Like, there's a few of them.
And they give you
a shit
ton of experience, too.
Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah. They give you some good stuff and, like, good salvage to upgrade. Because there's an upgrade mechanic in this. You can upgrade your weapons. It's not crazy. Each weapon might have, like, two or three upgrades. And you get a little skill tree.
That's not necessarily true. It's like, the bow starts out with two upgrades. And then you, later on, like, if you get those two upgrades, it says that you're 20% complete. And then it says, get two or three more parts to get more upgrades.
Well, you get a better bow. So you're not upgrade. I guess.
Yeah. So there are more, but.
It does it in stages. So you're building up the one part of, like, the one main bow, then you'll upgrade to, like, the first bow you find is, like, a makeshift bow. It's, like, basically a bunch of sticks tied together. It's your bow. And then you work up like 100 bow. Then it's like, you know, then you have the bow that's like a crazy, like military fucking, not military, but like a, you know, huntsman bow type.
Like thing. A compound bow.
Yeah. So that'll get
God,
that
the
shit.
More I hear about this, the more interesting it sounds to me.
It's really, really cool, man. And as I said, you get experience and you get skill points to put into different aspects. Like, one skill is that, like, you can put a skill point into retrieval of arrows. Like, if you kill someone with an arrow, you can go over and get the arrow out and use it again. Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, it's like, why isn't that just something that she does anyway? But, you know, it's good to
be able to. Did you ever play The Witcher? Or The Witcher 2?
Well, I mean,
I wonder why you can't do half the shit you can't do at the start.
Yeah,
of that
and
game.
they do that in Far Cry as well. Far Cry has a skill for going over and pulling the arrows out. I think, if I remember right, Far Cry 3 has that.
Yeah, they did it.
Yeah,
I'm just like in The Witcher 2, like block and roll are like skills you learn.
Yeah.
And parry.
It's so
it's
true.
Like, really?
Yeah. And I don't even think you can get one of those ones. You can't even get till quite a few like hours
right.
of the game.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
I mean, it's a design choice. It's weird,
but
anyway, arrows.
Yeah.
Arrowed.
Lara. a lot of people complain, like, the whole, we talked about this, like, briefly last week when Jason was talking about playing it, how Lara does show, she shows emotion when she has to kill, like, her first deer and when she kills her first human, and then it goes right into now she's, like, a killing machine, and we're like, lots of video game. You can't really.
It
would be boring if you really delete into that.
Yeah, there was a lot of that in Far Cry 3 as well. There was a lot
exactly.
of that. Exactly.
Far Cry 3 was even worse.
Yeah,
it wasn't even you who killed somebody.
Mid-20s douche vacation turn. Yeah. Like, yeah, all right, suddenly I'm like this crack shot.
At least with Lara, she's got some backstory to her, you know. It's like, but you're a Croft, you know. It's like they make you understand that, you know, she comes from this family that has all these skills and that kind of thing, and she has been trained to do this stuff, so, you know.
It's not even that. Just, like, if you throw the realism out and just, like, if you not ignore the gameplay parts or doing all that shit, but the cutscenes, especially before she kills the first person, like, you really feel like she's in fucking danger.
Yeah.
And, like, you feel like, holy fuck, how, like, it's not like that super over-the-top action, you know, so, like, again, I have to go back to it, like Uncharted, where Nathan Drake makes every jump, like, perfect pinpoint accuracy, you know, he's not gonna fall. There's some jumps, like, really easy in this game that even though it's meant to happen, it's like it's a timed event or whatever, it happens and you fall and she gets hurt, but that's like, people are saying, oh, it's just her getting beaten up and whatever. Like, I think it's more realistic. How many times you see, like, oh god, like, Drake's climbing another fucking 50-foot wall and jumping across whatever, and nothing's happening. It's like so fake. And then this is like, still fit, it's still ridiculous. But at least they're adding in that element of fear, at least when I'm playing it, I'm like, there's, like, I don't know what's going to happen. Actually, you feel for her as a character.
And that's the thing. It's like, one of the things that I've noticed is exactly what you're saying. It's like, and when it comes to Uncharted, it's like, Uncharted, I just go. You know, because eventually I know that I'm going to get a wave of enemies and I'm going to fucking kill them all. And you know, it's like, if there's a stealthy area, it's like, I'll try and do it, but it almost never works. And on the other hand, in this game, it's like, I will, like, very carefully move into an area. And, you know, the music changes when there's enemies around, you know, so music changes and all of a sudden she is, like, you know, she's ready for it and she kind of ducks behind cover and all the cover is automatic. You don't actually hit a button to go into cover, which I'm fine with and I'm not fine with. It's kind of weird. Sometimes it's great. Sometimes it's not so great. But it's almost like the stealth in Tomb Raider is almost to a fault. Like there was a point where I had to take out like five or six guys, and two or three of the guys that I took out had someone else standing like 5 feet from them. And they just let it. They just didn't even react.
Distract him with an arrow, son.
No. It doesn't. I didn't have to. I shot one dude, and the dude that was five feet away just didn't do anything.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird. Was he looking at him?
Yeah. There was one guy with a spotlight.
I've noticed when they're together. Mm-hmm. Like if I shoot one, the other guy's like, "Where the fuck did that come from?" Well, he's looking around.
Yeah.
Most interesting problems that I think people have to deal with who want to create these, or developers have to deal with.
Yeah, is what's your line of sight?
Because I mean,
what is your line of sight, and how far can you see?
Right, and think about it from the opposite direction when you play a game where like you snipe somebody from a mile and a half away, and then suddenly everyone on the fucking map knows where you are. It's like,
oh, what's up, Crisis?
Right.
it's like where do you find that balance?
Right, and I have to imagine that doing that without fault and being, you know, without exposing it like the way that Mark of the Ninja did, you know, where you can physically see, I know the sound only goes this far. I don't think they're ever gonna make that feel right. Like 100% of the time.
Yeah.
Because at some point it's going to not work just quite right for the way the user would expect it, and you're going to find exception with it. Now, I'm not saying that your part is walking that line. That seems like kind of an extreme thing for them not to notice, but
yeah.
I don't know.
I'm exaggerating with the 5 feet thing.
I said every time I shot someone that easy, they were looking at each other, the other guy knew right away. Not where I was, it was actually more like, shit, when you look around, like, what the fuck is that? And you start searching the area.
But let me put it to you this way. There was one part that I got to where there was, there was like six enemies off in the distance. And there was one that was kind of close to me, and he had his back turned. And there was another dude that was on a ledge that had a spotlight, right? And the spotlight, he's moving the spotlight around and looking at everything on the ground. And I shot the dude that was right in front of me, and the spotlight went right by it and didn't, and he didn't even do anything. And then I shot the guy that hit the spotlight. Well, come to find out, after I actually got up the stairs to the point where that spotlight was, I could peek around the corner and like further down the hallway, basically, there was another dude who I could see clearly, and he was facing the direction of the dead guy, and he was just standing there, you know? But, and again, it goes back to what do you put your limits on? Where do you put line of sight and how far can this guy see? So, I mean, I guess the spotlight thing kind of took me out of it a little bit. But, you know, outside of that, I can kind of understand. Because you got to make the game approachable and make people be able to, people want to play it, right? So.
You can't make it Splinter Cell and you just want to tear your fucking hair out.
Right. Yeah.
You know, that's a whole different interesting line, too, because if it behaved the way that it should in real life, is that really fun? You know? So I have to imagine that like dealing with stealth and doing those sorts of things in games has to be one of the most interesting and difficult
thing.
And frustrating things to
it's
deal
a tight
with
rope
from,
to
a,
walk,
to,
sure.
from a developer standpoint.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it handles it pretty well. Better than some games, not as good as others, but it's not a stealth game, nor is it a balls out shooting game.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So I'm like, I think they, from what I've played, again, only like an hour and a half, 2 hours, I think they got a good little happy medium going.
Yeah, it's really, really
good. I'm enjoying it. I'm glad, like, this is one of those games, again, that I was not, it was kind of on my radar. I haven't played a Tomb Raider game since the first one, to be honest. Like, really played one, like, completed. It was the first one. That was friggin' forever ago.
I got progressively less interested in them after the first one.
Yeah, same here. I was like, did you play the second one a bit though, and like the third?
Yeah, there were a couple neat set pieces in the second one. Especially like at the time when you ride the boat through that one, when you're in like Venice. Like this day I remember that scene. But I got so frustrated with it because in the first one, you were raiding tombs and dealing with nature. And in the second one, it's like, okay, look, I'm shooting a bunch of people. This isn't nearly as interesting. Yeah.
Yep. That's why I didn't really play the second one either. That and I didn't have a PlayStation at the time, but
I don't know.
I do want to play.
Missed the mark.
I do want to go back after this and play. What was the newest one before this one?
Underground.
Underground, yeah. I heard it. I was reading stuff. I was like, not supposed to be too bad. And I played getting ready for this, I downloaded the demo for Tomb Raider Legend, which was like one of the first 360 games. It was ported up from the Xbox and PS2 versions. And that actually didn't play that bad. It was like, it was the first game that Crystal Dynamics picked up after Core was done with them. They were like, yeah, we're not letting you make these games anymore. We're giving them to Crystal Dynamics.
I don't know if it still is or not, but Underground or Underworld or whatever the hell the name of that
Underworld,
one was.
It's called Underworld, yeah.
That was free on PS Plus at one point.
Oh, shit, was it?
Yeah, I don't know if it
was.
Still
I actually got it downloaded.
Yeah, I do too. I don't know if it still is, but it was at one point.
Yep.
I'll check that out. But I like it. It's fun. It's I don't know. It's Tomb Uncharted Raider Drake Fortune.
Please, every game steals from every other game now.
Oh, no, If you like Uncharted and you like third-person action-adventure games and shooters, like I think you'll love it. Like if you like Uncharted, I think automatically you'll like this. This has way more realism to it though. Like it's way grittier and it's not as like whimsical. It's not as like you're not gonna have Lara cracking remarks after every time she kills somebody or something happens.
It's like one of the things that when you were saying that, you know, she starts out by not wanting to kill anybody. I mean, even where I'm at right now, I got into a battle and, you know, some guys jumped out and she was behind cover and she started and, you know, I had her start shooting at someone. And when I stopped and got back behind cover, she said, please, we don't need to do this. And, she still
she'll
doesn't want
like that,
to,
yeah.
You know, so, you know, it's a lot less, smartass, you know?
Yeah, at least now it is.
Yeah, right now it is. It's a lot less of that, and it's more of
serious,
you know, the gritty survival.
And the death sequences
type of
thing. Are pretty freaking.
Yeah, and some of them are a little over gratuitous, and it's not over gratuitous in a way of like, oh my gosh, there's so much blood or anything like that. But like the only one that I've seen so far, and one of them the one that really caught my attention was the one that was on the video that we were talking about, the Clueless Gamer.
Which is going down the river.
Yeah. And that one's really brutal. I mean, I it's just like, it's hard to watch. And it has nothing to do with blood or anything. It's
God,
just the,
did you
like,
hear
the reaction and the animation. Yeah.
When they were watching it, I was like, oh my God, did they really want to show that on national
exactly.
TV?
And, yeah. But the only one that I've seen so far wasn't even Lara. It was an enemy that you take out. And after you take him out, I mean, you shoot him in the head, and after you shoot him in the head, you can hear him like still gargling and breathing.
Oh,
and
it's
trying
the first
to
person
do.
She kills. Yeah,
yeah, and yeah. It's just like,
well,
you
see
know,
a bullet hole through his freaking eye and at the back of his head. It's pretty crazy.
And that's not even what it was for me. It was the fact that he was still like
still breathing.
Yeah, they made it seem like he was still aware of what was going on, and I was like, oh, that's just mean.
Well, that same part. I don't know if you failed that part. Like I
failed it once, yeah.
Yeah, and it shows basically he strangles Lara.
Yeah.
And I was actually afraid when they're showing that. I'm like, oh my God, they're not going to actually show her actually dies. I actually think that would be worse than just showing her get shot or something like that. Luckily, they fade out before it actually shows her like die. But I'm like, oh God. But it could have been a lot worse. But whatever. I think a lot of the blow up, though, is because she's a female protagonist, to be honest. Like, if it was Kratos or, I mean, look at fucking Isaac from Dead Space. I know that's a science fiction universe and stuff, but he gets ripped apart in some of the worst ways I've ever seen. And if you don't, like, if you play Dead Space 2, just fail the needle part. You know exactly what I'm talking about, what overkill could possibly mean in a death scene.
I think it...
And that is just... Ugh.
I don't know. In that particular case, though, I feel... having not seen the scenes in Dead Space 2, I can't speak to exactly to what you're saying, but I feel like the expectation of a horror game is for it to be more gory
Well,
I'm not saying that they ever played Tomb Raider off as lighthearted, but the whole concept of raiding tombs just from its name seems more lighthearted
than
a horror movie. I realize
it's
a gritty thing, but
it's not the gore and stuff that's bad in Tomb Raider. There really isn't a lot in the death scenes. It's crazy. It's just the way she reacts and everyone's probably seen this one death scene where she's going down the river, and if you don't move to the left or right quick enough, she gets speared through the neck and up through the back of her head by a sharp branch.
Mm-hmm.
that's not that bad. The bad part is she's still kind of flailing and grasping at
and trying to pull herself off of it.
Yeah, that's what's bad. It's that, like, it's, yeah, it's a different kind of cringeworthy.
Yeah.
Let's face it, I hate to sound this cynical and perhaps realistic, but it would not surprise me if something like that is there for the fact of generating buzz around the game.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. But do you think there'd be that much buzz if it was a male character?
If they made the death scenes like that, it wouldn't make a difference for me, because the first scene that I saw was a male character that got killed.
Well, yeah, but you're looking at... Yeah, exactly. But I mean, like, look at how much... A lot of the big things people are pointing to is Laura gets a shit kicked out of her. She gets so injured. She gets, like, this, that, and the other thing. Like, the death animation's like... But look at all the games in history we've played. Like, I'm looking at my... Like, there's so many games that had males in it that get fucking torn apart doing whatever, like, terrible death stuff, but no one ever says anything about it.
Well, maybe...
I honestly think it's a lot of it because it's a female character. They're like, oh, God.
Maybe this goes back to the fact that you started this conversation with the discussion of her tit size.
Well, yeah.
I mean, let's face it. Come on.
But I'm not the one saying I have a problem with it, though.
Well, I know.
Saying that it's... I don't see why people are making a big issue about it just because she's a girl. Like, yeah, we talked about her tit size, of course, but it's not like I'm the one saying, well, it's wrong they're showing her die in these graphic ways.
We're not disagreeing. What I'm saying is from the business standpoint. I'm saying, of course, it makes sense to do these things because it gets people talking about it.
Throw a woman
in there with big tits, show her get killed in some gory way, and it's going to generate buzz. Better, you know. Good,
well, exactly.
Or bad.
So you're agreeing with me. You're saying that if it was a male,
yeah,
it wouldn't be generating that much buzz. Okay, so yeah, no, sorry, Chris was saying that he isn't, yeah, sorry, I wasn't realizing you were, like, agree with that, I was, like, more focused on what Chris was saying, like, well, it doesn't matter to him, because the male thing.
Yeah, I don't think it would make much of a difference for me.
Well, yeah, but that's your personal impression of it,
No doubt.
No, I totally agree, yeah, like, I'm saying this basically, like, if it was a male, like, I don't think people would say anything, it's just because it's a girl with big boobs and great ass. And a great English accent.
Nice move, Square Enix.
Hey, they're finally getting something right. I mean, their best games lately have been that and fucking Deus Ex. And I guess, I mean...
And they were both made by someone else.
Well, yeah, yeah. They were smart for picking up fucking
Eidos.
Eidos,
yeah,
man.
No doubt.
That was, yeah. They kind of saved both fucking companies, I think. Eidos wasn't looking too good before that either.
Yeah. Cool. Are we, no, that's it. So, let's take a break
really
real quick. We've been talking for almost an hour and a half, so.
You want to skip? Well, is there anything? Let me check quick. Might as well get news out of the way if there's anything that's really worth mentioning. I'm trying to think here. We got, Jason West leaves Respawn. That's kind of weird because he left fucking Infinity, got fired. Now he's leaving Respawn. What does that say? I don't know. Whatever. Discuss.
No. I gotta say, I'm not too confident about the game that they're apparently making right now, so.
Yeah. PS Vita sales quadrupled in Japan after the price drop. What's up, Sony? You should do that in America. Weird. You might sell more consoles. Oh, PS4 is coming. You want people to have a PS Vita? Drop your price. Weird.
Might
be some correlation there.
They're intentionally not dropping their price until the release of the PS4 gets closer.
Yeah.
The whole price drop in Japan had to do with the exchange rate. It wasn't necessarily because they
like
were trying to sell it for less.
But they should do it. Might
yes.
as well do it before the PS4.
They should. Though. They'll strategically do it prior to the PS4 launch.
They should do it because if they do it at PS4 launch, it's going to be like, now I have to spend this much money on this and this. Drop it now, so people will be like, I have that money now, and I can still save up for the PS4.
Right.
Boom.
Right.
Still get both.
I it would not surprise me if you saw like an August price drop for it.
Oh, yeah. That'd be a good time, actually. Retron 4, that's, if you want to know, it's like this little console that plays Genesis games, Super Nintendo games, and Nintendo games.
Now with HDMI.
Now it has HDMI, so now you can actually hook that shit up to your HD TVs without trying to find weird fucking converter cable and shit like that.
I hate to throw this out there. If you care about this, you're better off going to a Goodwill and buying an old TV because your games will look fucking better on that to begin
with. Yeah, they'll look way fucking better. Yeah, none of these games look good on HD TV at all.
No, that's true.
I mean, it's nice that they're supporting that because that means that the retro stuff is forward compatible, but...
Yeah.
You're better off taking $50 going and buying like 3 or 4 TVs at Goodwill. Like,
it's very
like old ass fucking, you know, tube TVs kind of stuff.
Yep.
But if you don't have room for that, This is a good solution for
that's
the
time. That's true. If you don't have a TV in enough room. That's true. Like, honestly, that's the only reason I don't have a two, because like, I have one, but it's at Tanya's parents' place, my old one. But the only reason I haven't brought it over here is because I really don't have anywhere to put it.
Right.
So
yeah. No, I get
and
it.
That's and that's the thing. It's like I you know, once I have a house in the basement, then yeah, maybe that's going to be a solution for me. But for the time being, it makes sense for me to get something like this in HDMI.
I get it.
Or you can just go steal it from somebody, like you would if you were in the game Thief. You guys remember that game?
Yes, I do.
Oh, I pat myself on the back. That was so
well done.
Thief 4 was announced for next generation consoles as well as PC from Game Informer. Jason scooped that story. Didn't really. He just I'm just saying that because he's not here, and I figured I'd give him a prop or two. It's being made by Eidos Montreal, so there we go. Another throw to the Square Enix, made by the same developers that made Deus Ex: Human Revolution, and I love the shit out of that game. So I'm looking forward to Thief 4.
I love so good. I love everything aside from the last couple hours of that game.
What, Deus Ex?
Yeah,
agreed. Yeah, the last couple hours was kind of actually bad, but it's all about the journey, man.
Zombie lame.
And yeah, and oh, and the guy in Thief 4 has got a bow and arrow.
Nice.
So the year of the bow is moving on.
Right. It's going to turn into the decade of the bow if you're not careful.
Yeah, for real.
I think it's going to do that anyway.
I'll start it with the Hunger Games.
And there's a new Ninja Turtles game coming out for Activision.
Cool. All right, let's take a break.
All right.
We're going to come back. We're going to do some Innis questions and emails, and then we're going to talk about Days of Goo as well. And then
what?
Releases and new question of the week. So stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Sounds good. It's time to wake up.
Thank you. And welcome back.
You welcome back
to the good.
I have a welcome back.
Okay. What?
I don't know.
I have a welcome back.
I felt like I had to say something.
Oh, okay. We'll say something about Days of Goo. How about we talk about that for a little bit?
Get in the gooey business.
Sure, sure.
What's up with the dog?
The dog.
The khaki. Oh, I see what you said then. The dog. Yeah, I get it. Days of Goo.
Right. Days of Goo. Actually, that acronym is just a happy mistake. Like, that was not intended in any way whatsoever. But it certainly makes it easy to remember. So, Days of Goo.
And just in case you need someone to finish a game 3 years and 3 months from now, Scott Sauer.
I'm from Gamers Only Older, if you didn't obviously know that by the now, then.
I'm pretty
sure. By the now. You didn't know by the now.
Yeah, I didn't even know how to follow that up. I'm like, come on. It, like, seriously? Listen to Indus and don't know who we are? What? Anyway, so we're coming up on our 5-year mark, which is in, I think, 4 shows from now, numerically speaking. So we wanted to, very much so like Indus Fest, have a party to celebrate that. And unlike you guys who are fucking rock stars year in and year out, we decided to make it a one-time only thing.
Yeah, except we're not doing it anymore.
Oh, no. Okay. Like retired rock stars.
Retired
then.
Rock stars.
Yeah, yeah.
With the band,
we'll get the band back together really at some point. Right. But, yeah.
So Days of Goo is a one-time only event to celebrate the 5 years that Gamers Only Older has been in existence.
Unless you somehow hit 10 years. Then you might do it again.
Yeah, we'll see if that happens.
God forbid that should happen.
Right? Right? All that time wasted. No, I kid. So it's basically a celebration. We have two goals for this weekend. Number one is to get together and have a good time.
Right.
Well, that is entirely up to the attendee. I am not going to force anyone to do anything along those lines.
Oh, well, there goes all the fun.
I didn't say you couldn't do it. Oh, okay. I just said I wasn't going to force it. So it's celebration. Number one, have fun. Number two is that we spend a lot of time talking on our show about the things that we love, but for reasons that are outside of our controls, it's very possible that our listeners don't necessarily always get the opportunity to try the things that we're talking about. So the second thing that we're really focusing on is trying to introduce and play a lot of the kinds of games that we enjoy playing, introduce you to things that maybe you might not see. One of our big things lately has been a bigger upswing in board games. Now, that still comprises a fraction of our show, but it has consumed a good amount of our time. And let's face it, board gaming might not be the easiest thing for people to approach. So half of our event is dedicated entirely to board games, the other half, obviously, to video games. The weekend in question is July 26th through 28th, which I realize is a reasonable ways off, but hopefully this is enough time for you to consider that in terms of vacation and whatnot. We're holding it in a suburb of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, called Brookfield, at the Brookfield Sheraton in a room called Moreland Room 7. Now, if any of that sounds familiar, it might be because that's the same place where the Midwest Gaming Classic is held, which I know a few members from Indus have made a couple of times, mm-hmm. And I'm sure some of your listeners have made mm-hmm. it as well. I know I've met a couple of them there.
Yep.
So if there's a reason why that sounds familiar, that's why. And part of the reason why we're holding it at that location is because over the years we've become good friends with Dan Lucen, who's one of the creators and organizers of the Midwest Gaming Classic, and he lended his hands in making that happen at a much reduced rate.
Because he's the rock star.
Right. Unfortunately, we don't, unlike Indus Fest, we don't have a location like Battle and Brew in this area. It just
That'll
doesn't
do it
exist.
For free.
Right. Right.
Hardly anywhere does, unfortunately.
Right. So obviously there's cost associated with that, and he helped us out tremendously. And with it being in July in Wisconsin, that's like prime wedding season, right? Even more so than in other areas that are more humid climates, say, like Atlanta. But once, you know, May, June starts to hit, that becomes wedding season, things start getting really expensive. He helped us out an exorbitant amount in helping secure a really good venue for it. And so, yeah, same place as MGC, go figure. Regardless, the whole concept of the event is to have fun. So we've got lots of stuff planned, and I totally hit my microphone.
That's okay. We'll get over it.
So we've got lots of stuff planned, right? So we're going to, like I said, try and show all sorts of things that we're into. So on the video gaming front, we've got a bunch of like score chases going on. The two big ones that we have announced so far are the score chase in the Bloody Palace of Devil May Cry.
Ew.
And the new one.
Vossi's not allowed to play that, by the way.
Who?
Vossi. Leo.
Why not?
Dude, you can't play your own event. It's at your own event.
Oh, okay. You mean, okay.
You just wait until later on in my description. The point is for us to play games with you. We're not just hosting these things. The whole point is for us to get together and have a good time. So, of course, we're going to be playing these things as well. That's just ridiculous.
Don't worry, they can't win anything, Joe.
I was going to say, because Leo's probably going to take that easily.
You just hold your horses.
It'd be like Jason taking part in like the Street Fighter tournaments that we did. It's just not... Yeah, we play Street Fighter, but that's just not fair.
You just hold your horses.
I'm holding. I'm waiting.
Hold on to the chair. Another one of the big high Down score boy. Chases we have on the video game side is that we're going to do Ask Galuda 2, which is my favorite shmup of all time. It's a cave shmup made by the same people as Akai Katana, awesome. Like I was talking about before. Mm-hmm. What's really neat about that game is that even though it is a bullet hell shmup, there's a really neat slowdown mechanic that is mainly used as a scoring mechanic in that game, but also... For newcomers to the genre, it is like a godsend to be able to slow down the crazy amounts of bullets so that you can navigate them properly. So it makes it much more approachable from that standpoint.
That game I played the first time at your place. So I don't even, oh, I can't remember if it was an MGC. Yeah, I think it was before an MGC. I loved it. The reason I didn't buy it is because it was like $80 on PlayAsia to import it.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there today, actually, because we were talking about that in the email thread, the Hoshimo Appreciation Month. I was like, it's got to have gone down in price. Nope, it's actually more. It's now $100 to import it. I'm like, son of a bitch.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good fucking game. What can I say? And yeah, it's a region-free import. So in the realm of trying to introduce you to things, maybe you might not have seen this game. If you're a big, you know, person around the shmup community, I'm sure you at least know the name at the very least. But then beyond that, the whole weekend running a bunch of open board gaming things. By the way, that's only a fraction of the video game stuff that's going on. But I'm just trying to keep this concise for Chris so that he can make it to bed quicker. But on the other half of the coin, we've got, you know, a bunch of open board gaming going on all weekend. And these are going to be typically shorter run board games, things that'll play in an hour or less or 90 minutes and probably at most looking at like 2 hours. And the whole concept there is to try to introduce you to as many of them as we can possibly do. So we've got all sorts of games on the list right now. I'm looking at the list of stuff that we have announced. And I should say that the things that we have announced is still a fraction of what we're trying to get to. But things we have on our list right now for board games, there's Seven Wonders, which is a card game. Actually, Chris, you've played that.
Mm-hmm. A very cool game.
Yeah, which is it's a civilization-building game, a very neat kind of passing mechanic. There's also it's also very simple in terms of what you can do in a turn, but the options come through the cards. So very, very cool card game. There's Castle Panic, which is a tower defense game that actually was featured on a series that Will Wheaton does called Tabletop. It's a cooperative tower defense game. So you're playing against the systems on the board. Very interesting, a lot of fun. And with it being cooperative, you're not trying to necessarily butt heads with anybody at the table. And then a bunch of other stuff on there. Dominion, I know, Chris, you've played that.
We've talked about that game before, yeah.
Right. Castles of Burgundy, which is an interesting Euro.
Are you doing Small World?
Yeah.
Small World is awesome.
Yeah, Small World's on there. Castles of Burgundy, which is a economic game that's another civilization building sort of thing, Euro style, so you can see that side of the coin. It's not important right now if you know what Euro style means or not, regardless, there's Cyclades, which is a cool, like, Greek mythology, territory control and civilization building game. There's another really artsy one that Leo recently announced called Fresco, which is all about mixing paints to help paint a mural. It's a really interesting kind of different take on the theme. Theme really plays into a lot of these board games really well. So these are all the shorter run kind of games. All things that we love to introduce to you, which is a perfect time for me to say, you do not need to come to this with any knowledge of how to play any of this. We have the expectation that anybody walking into this knows nothing about any of them. So we're totally up for teaching you, so do not feel like that is a barrier to entry. The only thing that would keep you from playing any of these things is your own inhibitions about trying them. So keep that in mind. But if all we did were these shorter run board games, that would be doing a disservice to that pastime that we really enjoy, because there are some really quality longer run board games that we like. So in order to facilitate that, we have a Saturday night big box event. And the whole concept behind this is each one of us is going to pick a single game. We're going to break off into our separate gaming stations in order to play this. We're going to teach a limited number of people the particular game of our choice. Now, mind you, all of the open gaming stuff still going on at the same time. My game is a game, or the game that I chose for the event is a game called Eclipse, which I don't know if either of you have ever been to Board Game Geek, but that is like the de facto like place to go for board game information. It is inundated with so much crap that it becomes like ridiculously difficult to navigate when you first go there, but wealth of information there. They've got a database on there. I don't even know what the count's up to. I want to say it's above 30,000 for the number of board game entries in there. Eclipse is rated number 5. It's a really good space 4X game. Okay. So you are building a civilization in space, trying to conquer area, doing diplomacy with the people next to you, doing combat if you want to take people out that way. Very, very, very cool game. So that's what I'm going to run. Adam is going to run a sealed magic box tournament, or a sealed box
which is
magic
very cool.
tournament. Yeah, which is a neat concept as well.
Probably the best way to do it.
Right.
Yeah, and the boxes that he's using are like these. It's not just it's not like you're just going and getting like a theme pack or something like that. It's they have like these like deck building boxes that are that come with like a set number of, you know, random uncommons and commons, and then it gives you like 4 or 5 packs or something like that. I can't remember exactly how much it gives you, but Jason and I have actually bought a couple of those and built decks out of them and played with them. It's pretty cool.
Right. So he's going to run a tournament of that, and this is where some of the prizes start to get in. You were worried about us winning this. Well, if we get, what will happen at these particular things is that if you win one of these Saturday night big box events, then you are going to walk away with stuff. So Eclipse, like I said, really in-depth board game. There's over 900 pieces in it. The game costs $100 list price. You win that game, or you come in second to me, Jeff. Mm-hmm. You walk away with a copy of that game. If you
that
win
makes
the,
sense.
Right. If you win the Magic tournament or come in second to Adam, you're going to walk away not only with your own box, but we're working out how we can give additional cards. Originally, our first thought on the Magic was to walk away with all of the cards, but that's an overabundance of lands that would be a complete waste. So
and it really takes away from the other competitors within it. You know, I mean, they get to build these decks and they get a connection with these cards, and then they have to give them up.
Right.
I've actually contacted Adam about that, and if I do get a chance to come up there, I will probably be assisting him with some of the setup for that.
All right. And then Leo hasn't announced his yet, although Last I talked to him, he was talking about the potential of doing Arkham Horror, which is a Call of Cthulhu based horror game where you try to work together to investigate the supernatural demons that are trying to invade your world. But another long-run game kind of thing. In addition to that, we're also running weekend-long tournaments, like in parallel to the rest of this stuff. We're going to do a fighting game tournament, although the game is yet to be determined yet. We're also going to do a Summoner Wars tournament, which is a board game, board and card game, which is kind of like a combination of Magic and chess. So really kind of interesting from that standpoint. Very unique pieces, so to speak. And, you know, there's the whole concept of summoning them onto the board, and then spatial tactics play into that. But very, very cool, very amazing game that is quickly rising among some of the people's favorite lists. So like I said, the whole point, or one of our goals for this is to get you guys involved in all of these things that we're trying to show you.
For sure.
So we've got an achievement system for the weekend.
Oh, people like achievements.
Right?
They like their trophies.
That's right. So we have got 2,000 points total. Okay, and 1,000 of those are going to be dedicated to social-related achievements. Things that are, you know, if you are participating in an active way, you will probably get close to, if not all of them, with very little effort, making the assumption that you're participating. Some of these things might be things like, hey, play a complete game with Leo of something, whatever. Another
rock,
one
paper,
might...
paper, scissors?
Sure.
Sweet.
And well, it has to be one of the games we're featuring.
Oh, that should be totally featured.
I'll take that into consideration before I promptly say no. another potential one on the social side that we've been kicking around is, since obviously we have to teach all of these games, Chris is a good example. You've played a couple of these games already. One of our achievements might be, hey, help somebody learn how to play this game.
Score!
Help us out by helping somebody learn how to play this game, which might also, you know, contribute to somebody who walks into this not knowing anything, because what's to say that they couldn't play a game of Dominion and then help people learn it the second time around, right? So some very cool social things like that. And on the other side of the coin are the participation in the actual game. So you participate in one of these open gaming stations, hey, you're going to get some points for it. And all of the points for the gaming station related stuff is divided by game, not necessarily specific game in all cases, but they're all divided by 100 points, and then they work out to be where the vast majority of them are, hey, I tried it, and a little bit of them are, hey, I did well at it. So very cool stuff like that, but can't tell you what you're going to get when you have the full point total, because we're not releasing that.
It's a good idea.
Guarded,
just make people want to get that high score, even though they don't know what it is. There could be nothing in the box. It could be a fucking new car anywhere
in between
there.
What's in the box?
No, but we got some cool prizes planned. Oh, I didn't mention it, but we are going to have prizes for both of the weekend-long tournaments as well. Again, don't necessarily have them completely nailed down yet, but it's safe to assume that if you win the fighting game thing, you're going to win something fighting game related. And if you win the Summoner Wars thing, you're going to win some collection of Summoner Wars cards. But then, yeah, big, big prize for people that have the highest achievement points.
Cool.
So now, all of this costs money. You know, we talked about... We talked about the room itself, and obviously all of these prizes that are associated with this, and all of the things that we want to do from that in order to facilitate the best time that we possibly can. So the reason why I'm talking about this now and making my rounds around the Retroids podcast network is so that I can talk about the fact that we have a funding campaign going on for it right now. It's important for me to say that this event is free to anybody that wants to attend it. You're not going to be charged a door charge. You're not. There's nothing that you have to pay in order to, you know, hop in on a gaming station. Nothing along those lines. But this is a hobby. It's always been a hobby, and I hate it that I have to ask for money for a hobby. but it's just not realistically possible for us to hold this event the way that we want to hold it without leaning on the generosity of others.
Mm-hmm. We totally understand what you're talking about.
Definitely.
Right. So right now we're running a funding campaign for it. We're doing it on a site called CrowdTilt, which in a lot of ways is extremely similar to Kickstarter. We could not use Kickstarter, the one that everybody's familiar with around this industry, because that's designed for creative projects, and we would be in violation of their terms of use if we tried to host a party fundraiser through them. It doesn't work with them. But CrowdTilt, very similarly, is completely designed for that. But it works identically. You know, you pledge a certain amount of money, and if the event does not fund, then no one is charged a dime. You're only charged if we make our minimum.
I have a question for you now. What happens if you don't get all of the money that you're asking for?
Then this doesn't happen.
Okay. That's my worry. So.
You're telling me. Then it doesn't happen.
Okay. Guys, please. This is big.
This is huge.
I've thrown some money at you already, so.
Right.
I will eventually too, don't worry. When's the, I don't know if you feel like, I mean, people can see what the goal is on the site.
No, it's $1,500. I was about to say that.
Okay.
Our goal for the event or the minimum that we need for the event is $1,500. Now it sounds like a lot of money, but if you really think about it, 30 people at $50 a head, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, and on top of that, we've got some ways that hopefully we can incentivize you to donate some money to this. Our first level, much like Kickstarter, although CrowdTilt doesn't have it built in the way that Kickstarter does, but know that, and it says right on the CrowdTilt page, if you give $50, now I mentioned a couple of events, like the Saturday night big box events and the weekend long tournaments, those are going to have limited seats logistically. It's just impossible otherwise. So if you donate $50, you are awarded priority registration to those events. So you get an opportunity to sign up for them before any of the people that could not donate or did not donate $50. The next goal above that, for a next incentive above that, is at $100, you get an executive registration. So you get to sign up for these events even earlier than the people that only gave $50. And on top of that, we're going to give you a commemorative one-of-a-kind t-shirt marking the Days of Goo that is not going to be available outside of that incentive level, as well as some custom imprinted dice.
That's actually really cool.
Yeah, I like that too.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I could use some dice. That's cool.
I am not going to lie. When I make that order, I am ordering extra and I'm holding on to them.
It's a good idea. That's what I've done with all the swag that we've done for IndusFest. Yeah, I've held on to some of that shit. I still got cups, you know, I still got buttons, I still got all that stuff.
Fuck
t-shirts.
Yeah, man.
Hell yeah, man.
Fuck yeah. But that is the only way that you're going to get either those t-shirt or that dice. So, is at that $100 level. Plus on top of that, we've got some stretch goals. If we go, mind you, the minimum that we need to have in order to hold this event is $1,500. The further we go over the top of that, the more shit that we're going to do. And we've got things already planned that we can do if we do go over that top. Some of it includes things like we can cater maybe Saturday night so that people don't have to leave in order to get food so they can stay and keep playing games.
Cool. Yeah.
The
whole thing is BYOB too, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That probably goes without saying. But yeah.
Well, the amount that goes into this is not covering anything. It's besides, only covering the event itself.
Yeah, so, it's covering like the prizes and like the hotel, like basically the conference room that you guys are doing.
Right. Yeah. And some of the other things that go into it, yes. But there are other costs associated with it that I'm not going to go down the rabbit hole of, but yes, it is only really covering the event. So you're responsible for your own...
Oh, trust me, we're well aware of the cost of throwing shit like this.
It'll cover, or the things that you'll need to cover is travel, place to stay, and your food for the weekend. But if we go enough over the top of it, then we'll hopefully make one or more of those things easier. In terms of places to stay, we also got a block room rate for the hotel at the Brookfield Sheraton, which is $89 a night.
Which is good for that hotel. Pretty good. That hotel is like $120 or something.
It's a nice hotel. It's a very, very comfortable hotel. That rate includes both single and double beds. So if you get two beds, split it with somebody else, suddenly that becomes awfully affordable. So definitely
you can crawl your way back to your room.
The whole point of a lot of people made the suggestion of us holding it at a place other than a hotel. Most of the reason why we chose a hotel was so that you could do what you wanted and then roll upstairs to bed, you know,
or have someone throw you over their shoulder and carry you upstairs.
Sure,
done that before.
Sure.
Done that before. Subnaption.
Oh shit.
So yeah, that is in general. That is the concept of the Days of Goo. If you want more information on any of the games, any of the stations that we talked about, there are going to be some new announcements in terms of even more board gaming stations coming up. The big one that I just secured today was Nirishima Hex, which is a really cool hexagonal-based war game that plays really, really fast. You know, among other things, you can always check our portal that we have dedicated to this, dog.gamersonlyolder.com. And if you want to contribute anything to it and attend it and, you know, lock down that priority registration of those sweet-ass T-shirt or dice, you can go to funding.gamersonlyolder.com, which will take you straight to our crowd tilt page. In terms of our funding, we started it on February 25th, and it runs for 30 days. So approaching the end of March will be the point in time that, you know, this is going to be wrapping up. We have approximately 20 days left, so about two-thirds of the time left, and we are about one-third of the way to the money.
Okay.
So,
and I will say, guys, like, if you can or cannot donate, that's awesome. Like, it is going to, like you will have a good time, because every single thing that's been organized through Retroids or other, like, podcasts on the network, I've never had a bad time.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Always a fucking great time.
Whether it really be MGC or, you know, or something like this, or, you know, when we went to party with Trickman Terry or anything. I mean, we've always had a good time. Always had a good time.
Definitely.
It's always really cool people to be around, and you will find people that are that share your interests and that you will be able to talk to. I promise.
Yeah, it promises to be an awesome time. I mean, we're putting a lot of effort into it. There's a lot of considerations for all of this, and trust me, I'm super excited and super scared all at the same time.
We know how you feel.
But trust me, it will be an absolute blast, and hopefully this is an opportunity. I mean, like I said, we've been talking up board games more and more, and it is like... board gaming is turning into what couch co-op or couch video gaming used to be.
It really is.
And people that don't realize, I mean, over the last 4, 5, 6 years, board gaming has gone through a remarkable renaissance where there's just super interesting, super engaging board games that fit like any theme you could possibly want and have such a wide range of mechanics. And there's something that is just fundamentally fun about being able to sit at a table and chat at the same time, as opposed to, and I'm not slighting this experience at all, but as opposed to just bumping elbows with somebody while you're playing a video game.
Yeah.
I mean, that is super cool too. And we've got cool stuff for that as well. Oh shit, I forgot to mention the one that Adam's working on in the works right now. This is kind of a neat concept. We're working out how we're going to deal with the achievements for it, but we want to run an ongoing game of Secret of Mana where we collectively try to beat the game over the course of the weekend.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. That so there's, work. Yeah, there's a lot of neat ideas. Mostly, like I said, get together, have a good time. Goal number one, goal number two. Let's show you some stuff that maybe you didn't see before that I believe, given the opportunity, you'll have an absolute blast with.
All right.
So yeah, very again, cool. dog.gamersonlyloader.com gives you all the details. And if you want to contribute, funding.gamersonlyloader.com. One last caveat on the funding. I have had this asked of me a couple of times. If you want to donate, but you can't make it, and you want to give enough to get those physical goodies,
the dice and the shirt,
yeah, we'll ship them to you. That's the least we could do for your generosity. So
there you go.
Anything you can give, we would truly appreciate. I cannot express in words how much I am on pins and needles over the course of this funding campaign.
Oh, I can believe it.
And the plan is, the plan, this is not guaranteed, but the hope is that me, Jeff, and Jason will all be there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. That is the hope. Yeah. Right now it's looking pretty good, but
For me, it's still a bit in the air. I gotta
actually. Jason, Chris, and I haven't been in the same spot in a long time together.
Yeah, because you didn't come to Indusfest this past year.
I didn't come to Indusfest.
So it was the previous Indusfest.
Jason wasn't at MGC the year before that. You weren't at MGC the year before that. Mm-hmm. I guess Indusfest 3 last time we're all together. Mm-hmm.
It also sounds like two or three of the guys from Irrational Passions are going to be there. Also
nice,
sounds
nice.
Like both of the guys from Band of Gamers are going to be there.
There you go. Well, they're pretty local, aren't they?
They're both local, yeah. I neglected to mention Bill, one of the guys from Band of Gamers. He's donating use of his projector, so we're going to have big screen video
cool.
gamers.
Nice. Cool. Big screen Rock Band?
I don't know.
Big screen Street Fighter. Fuck Rock Band.
I haven't actually determined what we're going to put on it yet. I just know that we have it at our disposal.
Right. Super Meat Boy.
There you go. Super Meat Boy.
cool. We could do like Super Mario 3 and the Wizard. That'd be nice.
That would be awesome.
Super Mario Brothers 3.
Right.
Jimmy Woods.
He was a feather at Warps in a World 3.
Yeah. beyond that, yeah, there.
I fucked that up. Sorry.
There are a few other people that have mentioned that they're coming, but yeah, most important part right now is getting it funded. So
yeah, very cool. Awesome. Well, we are behind you, so hopefully this will work out, and hopefully we will all be able to get there.
Well, we'll continue to pimp it either way up until the deadline. Either way,
absolutely.
Right. Thank you, guys.
Good to go.
I think
so. Of course.
All right, let's go do some emails and some Indus questions.
Sure. What do you want to start with?
Let's go back and forth. Let me start with an email.
All right, go.
I've got a few here. First one comes from Sean Recupido, and he says, what are some features, that you'll be really pissed off if they aren't in the next generation? I personally want a universal copy and paste on the operating system. Also, it better have some kind of text editor, just for copying long WPA keys. Seriously, these things are turning into high-end computers, and they don't even have a text editor yet. In-game music better work, for all PS4 games as well. Finally, I want something like one click on a respective marketplace, no more pressing OK like 5 times to download something. Oh, and PS downloads should automatically download in the background without me telling it to.
Give you the option.
Yeah. So, what would you be pissed if it Thanks, didn't Sean. Include?
Well, I mean, in response to the whole download thing from what they said in the PS4, I would be surprised if it isn't a backload or background download to begin with.
Yeah, I think that based on the way they're doing the architecture with the secondary processor that they're going to be using. Yeah, it sounds like that's what they're aiming for, and it's going to download and install everything in the background while you're playing, which is something that I feel like should have been there, but I'm glad it's finally going to be there.
Right. So the question was feature that we
that
would
you,
be pissed
that you'd
off
be pissed if,
it,
if wasn't it
was
there.
Missing. Yeah.
If it
okay.
was missing.
I got mine. It's not really.
Go for it.
It's kind of a feature.
What you got?
I would be pissed if either of the console manufacturers did not respond faster to the wants of people. Okay. I'll explain it this way. So speaking to the background download separate chip kind of PS4 part of that announcement, what's really intriguing about that to me is not the fact that they're including that part in their hardware. It's that they've listened well enough to understand that they need to do something to facilitate that. Like,
okay.
The philosophical abstract side of it is that it seems like many of the features in the PS4, people are going, well, duh, you should have had that.
Right.
You know, 2020 hindsight. But the point is not that they're finally including these things or that they're forward thinking on these things. The point is that they've listened well enough to recognize that not having it is an actual problem that needed to be addressed.
Yeah.
And well, so what happens if it's technical limiting? That's the reason why the PS3 didn't have a lot of those things.
Well, that is part of why it didn't have a lot of those things.
Right. But the hope is that they've paid enough attention at this point in time that they can be a little bit more forward-thinking with their architecture, and the fact that they're building it at x86 buys
kinda
into
shows
that.
Up the
with 8 gigs of fucking RAM.
Right. They're building it to be...
All pooled, by the way.
Right.
Yes, yes.
They're building it to be where they might... It feels like they're the little bit that they've given through their architecture, they have... they're giving the impression that they will be able to react more on the software end than they could before because the architecture was limiting before, and now it shouldn't be. So the feature that I want, quote-unquote, is that I want them to be able to and uphold the ability to change and be more forward-thinking and listen to the wants and desires of the people.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
I'm not sure what mine would be. I mean, I really want... I think my biggest thing is that if they make it so that... if they take away something they've already given us, like, for instance, I want PS Plus to stay basically what it is. I want the basic level of PS Plus to stay what it is. If they have
PS
added
Plus
features,
or PSN?
PS Plus, well, both really. If they have, you know, if they, I want, you know, the level of the free level of PSN should stay what it is today. The PS Plus that we have today should stay the way it is. And if they have additional
services
they
want
to charge more, that's fine. They can do that. But
I
won't
put any money that it's going to be the same price, yeah. But all those Gaikai things and all that shit's going to be included in PSN or PS Plus. PSN is just going to be basically messaging and
online gameplay.
Yeah, and then everything else is going to be PS
Plus. It'll all be part of PS Plus. But
I'm perfectly okay with that too.
But the big question is, are they going to have like a premium level of PS Plus? Are there going to be different levels?
And no, God, no. I don't think they'll do that.
If they don't, they may raise the price for PS Plus. I gotta think that they've gotta do some leeway there.
I think with all this, like with everything they have now, plus all the stuff that they. And now it's like they might do party chat. They might include that in PS Plus as well. As long as like they keep, I think as long as they keep the gameplay online free, they can get away with charging $59.99 a year like Xbox does, and have everything else included in it. I think it'll be okay.
And as long as they have like a steady stream of games that you're allowed to download and play for free, I think that's
just
a good,
don't
that's a
expect
really good
it
feature.
To be as often.
Yeah, and don't expect it to be 12 games like
exactly.
It is right now.
It's not going
to
be, here's the entire like fucking six. Library of PS4 in the second month it's been released for free.
Yeah.
It might be like the Vita.
I am very, very curious to see the business side of the Gaikai and how they choose to do that. Because there are a couple of ways they could do it. They could roll it into PS Plus like we're talking about. They could make it a separate subscription, or they could make it buy it piecemeal. And how much of a success that is going to be is going to be determined by two factors. Number one, how well does it actually work? And number two, how are they pricing for it? Because it can be mediocre if it's rolled into PS Plus. It has to be fucking spot on if you're going to charge on a per game basis.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it'll be, I think it'll be very interesting to see what sort of strategy they use on the business side of that moving forward.
All right. Do another email, or do you want to...
Go for an Innis question.
Let's go for three Innis questions.
That sounds good. Let's do it.
Quick one-off. Fluffy Nuts.
What's up, dude?
Says... Hold on. I think I might have missed one. No, I didn't. All right. This is actually his first one. Okay. There's a big hole in my underwear, but it's still wearable. Should I buy some new pairs?
Yes.
Yes, and tuck it back in.
Yeah.
Especially that second part.
Yeah. I don't know. If you're single, definitely 100% do it. But, I mean, if I get a hole in my underwear, it depends where it is, and it depends how big it is.
Well, it might be easy access for a number two.
That is very true. I had a pair that was really pretty much like that, and it's not my only pair of underwear. So if it's their only pair of underwear, if like all of them got a hole in it, you might want to get some new ones. But if it's only like one or two, whatever. Wear them on Sundays. It'll be fine.
Well, they are holy.
No! He follows it up with, when buying a meat pie, should a packet of sauce come free or cost extra?
Free!
That shit should be free.
Shit should be free. You should get two.
That's right. We're entitled, bitch.
What sort of sauce do you get with a package of meat?
Well, he said meat pie. I'm guessing a meat pie is like, I guess like a meat pie. I don't know. Like, they're all crazy in Australia. I don't know if that means like a beef patty or if that's like an actual meat pie that's like, you know, like.
Meat pie might be something like shepherd's pie or something.
Yeah, it could be something like that. Who knows?
Okay, then I will go with as long as it's an even numbered day of the month.
That makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
I like that answer.
Sure.
And he says,
as long as it's a day ending with Y.
He says, in his questions, did you grab my ass?
I think I'm pretty sure I did. Yeah.
Definitely did.
Pretty
Maybe
sure
once.
I did.
Let's do one more
before we get to the, there's a break in the end of questions. He also says, what's your favorite porn site?
Ooh. 4tube.com.
4tube?
I like Tube.
You like Tube8, don't you?
Tube8's good. But you can get Tube8 on both the ones that Scott and I said.
Oh, okay. Because I do Pornhub, and Pornhub's got Tube8 attached to it, too.
There you go. So. Any one of those, and they all work on iOS and Android. So.
There you go.
Benefit.
Yeah. Set up an email.
All right, here we go. This one is from David Elton, a.k.a. Adventurine, a.k.a. the dude that won the final level challenge. Hello, Indus. Long time, no right. I know. Anyway, I have a question for you. How long is too soon? In other words, what is the ideal time to release a sequel or next part of a game? I think we've talked about this before. I think the serial nature of Telltale's The Walking Dead was a good example of great timing due to the length of each episode. While Assassin's Creed series is a good example of bad timing.
Yeah.
Too many, too soon. Sports franchises are the same. So is Call of Duty. I think yearly is too soon. You need to give the graphics engine technology time to develop and people time to finish the game. What is your opinion? Take care, my friends, Adventurine. I'm pretty sure we talked about
Jeff,
and I think pretty much we unanimously agreed that it has to be at least 2 years.
Yeah, I think we all said it was 2 years, probably the minimum that we wanted. Like three is probably like, we were talking about this. I was talking about this in the show by some people on Retroids. This is the first generation ever that outside of sports games and with the PS1, the Tomb Raider series, that we've seen three or more games in a single series. Like, the original IP launched this generation, and there's been at least four games that have released within this
I get what you're saying, because look at Gears. Gears is about to have its fourth game.
It's about to have its fourth fucking game.
Yeah, I mean, that's
and
crazy.
And that game came in a year after 360 launched.
Yeah, no shit. That's a good point. Assassin's Creed is the same way. How many games of that has that fucking had?
They're at six.
They're
seven?
At five, and they're about to have six.
No, they're already at six.
If you count portables, yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, yeah.
Because you have one, two, three.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And now they have four, which is the pirate one, which is coming out.
Yeah.
And then they've got portable versions of the games as well. But I'm not counting those because they're not necessarily part of the console generation. They're a portable piece. But, totally agree.
People shit on Call of Duty, but at least they had alternate studios. They each had two.
Yeah, that's true.
But
Ubisoft
is
just like churning the shit out.
Yeah, it gets you with that still burnout playing the same thing every year with not great big leaps and bounds with any aspect of it.
I would make the assumption that you guys probably made this argument when you had this discussion before. Anything that is more often than 2 years made by the same studio means that there is no time to gauge reactions and change course.
Yeah.
You can't do anything. You've already started development. It's, like, it's too late.
Yeah, you can't switch gears like while you're in the middle of development like that. It just doesn't work out. See, for me, I think
there's exceptions to the rule, like Metal Gear Rising.
Well, Metal Gear Rising.
That's not a sequel, though.
Yeah, it's not really a sequel, but it also changed studios, and you know that game's had quite the lifespan. But one thing that I was going to point out is like Mass Effect. Mass Effect had a pretty good cycle. You know, they released the first one in what, like 2007 or 8, and then it was like 2010, and then it was 2012. So there was the 2 years in between.
It's a good cycle when you think about it. Those are two pretty big RPGs, in one generation, which is pretty crazy.
It is. It's very different from what we're used to, but the way that studios are now and the way game development works now, that's the part of it. I mean, it's like a studio works on a game, and that's what they work on, and that's all they get. It's like a lot of times, there's not much else. BioWare is obviously an exception to that rule because they have Dragon Age as well. But you know, most of the time, the team was working on that, and then they had another team working on the Knights of the Old Republic.
I'd actually like to say that I wish that there was less time between Dragon Age Origins and Dragon Age 2, because maybe they wouldn't have fucked up Dragon Age.
I don't have enough of an opinion of either game to either combat or agree with that. So
I want to see Dragon Age 3 pre-Origins.
Okay.
Pre-Origins. It needs to go back.
It's a prequel. It's a prequel to Origins. That's
pre
nice.
Pre or re, I don't care. We need to pretend like Dragon Age 2 didn't happen.
I've heard many say the same thing. So
I mean, okay.
Let's not go too deep into that. You and Leo had that argument on your show. Yes. Someone could go over there and listen to it.
It's still fresh.
I know it's still fresh in your mind, dude. I understand.
Thanks, Venturine.
All right, you got some more Indus questions?
Yeah, I do.
Do it up.
Okay, we already did the pizza one. Fluffy Nuts is giving the whole describe your perfect pizza. Then he'll tell us why we're wrong. I'm almost like, I'm 200% positive he's written that before.
I don't think we've done that before.
No, we 100% have.
Have we? Okay.
Yeah, we definitely have.
I'll take your word for it.
He says, who'd win in a pillow? Oh, this isn't fair. Travis or Jason aren't here. But who'd win in a pillow fight? Jason versus Jeff, Travis versus Glenn, Chris versus Fluffy.
Chris versus Fluffy? In a pillow fight?
Yeah.
Go down the list again.
All right, so Jason versus myself.
I have to give it to Jason.
I would destroy Jason.
You think so?
I'll give it to Jason on reach.
Yeah.
He might have the reach.
He has the reach.
Just like boxing.
I don't think he can take a pillow to the face, though. I think he'd curl up.
Dude, I've seen him slam a dude's head into a car. It's not... I mean, yeah, on the outside...
This is a pillow fight, Chris.
I understand. I understand it's a pillow fight. But,
and
you know.
I put fucking cue balls in my pillow. All right, Glenn versus Travis.
I got to go with Glenn.
I think Glenn's rage would come out. Like, Travis is feisty, but I think Glenn would just kind of like...
Glenn's got the rage, and he's got the reach.
Yeah.
Travis has got the hair.
Travis has got the hair.
He does have the hair. Yeah, but the problem is that while he spent the half an hour fixing it, Glenn would have beaten him to death.
That's true. Yeah, I might have to give that to Glenn, too.
Yep.
All right, Chris versus Fluffy.
I don't know. Does running work? Because I can run.
no offense, Chris, I'm picking Fluffy on this one.
No offense taken.
Yeah. He, I mean, he
almost
this is
the
Jason's
dude that cracked a rib when he hugged Jason.
I know.
Exactly.
Jason's a little fragile, though, so. I got the same hug, if not more, and I didn't crack a rib, just saying.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, just don't let Jason get in there with the reach, and you should be good.
All right.
Or for me, anyway, never mind. You're fighting Fluffy. You're
that's right. I'm fucked. I'm fighting Fluffy.
he says, why did you ignore most of my questions, anticipated question? We didn't. I even read the one I said I was going to ignore, the pizza one. Describe the perfect crepe. Sweet or savory?
Oh, man.
Crepes must be big in Australia.
I gotta say I like the sweet, cause I like with like fruit and some powdered sugar and that kind of thing. That's my idea of crepes. And then, you know, you get, put a little bit of chocolate chips in there. That's good stuff.
That sounds, you like the sweet stuff.
Yeah, I do.
That sounds tasty. I'll go with that one.
Yeah, I would. Depends on my mood, but I can go either way. I like the savory. I like the sweet. I'm going to be on that fence, whatever. Then he says, why are Canadians so awesome? I don't know, because we are. Navishan says, can Jeff go 1 year without being banned, blocked, or kicked out of something?
No.
Yeah. No.
No.
Probably not. That came off of, I'm not sure if I told you the story, Chris, but you know Ryan Deo's from Giant Bomb?
Yeah, I heard about this.
Oh, my God. I can't even... Okay, for people, because we never talked about this on the show.
No, we didn't talk about this on the show.
But what happened was Captain Harlock, who's a good friend of the show, a good friend of mine, I've known the guy forever, Billy Harris, he was trying to... This is when 1UP shut down, and he was trying to tweet Ryan O'Donnell, who was part of like the whole 1UP show and all that stuff.
Right.
And be like, hey, man, like I love the 1UP show. That shit was awesome. Like a lot of my good memories from video games has come from 1UP. All the stuff, but he accidentally, when he typed in Ryan Davis came up first, and he tweeted Ryan Davis from Giant Bomb, and then he tweeted back to Ryan Davis, he goes, oh, I'm sorry, wrong Ryan. So I retweeted that, and all I said was, fail. And then, like, a minute later, I get a thing on my thing saying, Ryan Davis tweeted you. I'm like, oh, cool, he replied. And the reply was, blocked. Like he said, like he literally said, blocked. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, what? I was saying that Captain Harlock fails for fucking tweeting the wrong Ryan. And then I was kind of pissed for a bit, but I was like, it's kind of funny, whatever. But it was kind of cool. People came out, like, people I don't even know were like, why the fuck did you block? He didn't do anything. But apparently he blocks everybody from Twitter, so whatever. I'm cool with it.
Ryan Davis doesn't like people.
I still listen to the show. It's still awesome. Okay. Salvador A, also known as El Doozy, he says,
sup?
Hey guys, do you have any gaming movies that everyone hates that are guilty pleasures? I love Grandma's Boy and Silent Hill.
Silent Hill's awesome. Fuck that. I have an issue with anybody who didn't like Silent Hill. That was a good movie. I like the Resident Evil movies. I don't care what anybody says.
All of them?
I've watched every single one of them.
They announced the sixth one.
I know, that's really weird. I have not watched the fifth one yet, because it's not out on DVD yet, I don't think, but yeah.
Yeah, but you're also
like,
a Mila Jovovich.
I am. Yeah. I am. I'm a Mila Jovovich fanboy, so, you know, that's one of those shared list ladies that's on, that me and Crystal are both attracted to.
Right.
So that's always nice, too. But, yeah.
I don't know if this is a guilty pleasure, but my favorite video game movie is War Games.
Which?
I don't think I've never seen War Games, to be honest with you.
War Games? Mm-hmm. With Matthew Broderick?
Yeah. Yeah, I've never seen it.
Oh, you got to see it, dude. It's really good.
I think I have seen it, but is it a video game movie?
Well, I mean, it's not one that is made off of a video game license, but the predominant, like, mechanic in the movie that moves the plot forward is video games.
Oh. Mm. I think I have. That's like pretty old, right?
Yeah, Matthew Broderick will surprise you how young he looks in that.
Really? I like the wizard.
I think I have
anybody
seen
anybody who doesn't like the sure. wizard is lame.
I like the wizard too. I'm pretty sure like War Games was pre Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Ferris Bueller?
Yeah.
I almost think I'm gonna have to look that up after this. I'm almost positive I've seen War Games. I just don't really remember it.
Yeah, he hacks into like this government computer to play strategy games.
Yeah, I know the concept. I just haven't seen the full movie. And if really, I have, it's really been too long. I don't remember it.
It's really good.
I really like Grandma's Boy too. Actually, to be honest. Okay, have you guys seen a movie? I think it was meant to be a series. I just saw it on Netflix actually, like last weekend. It's called Video Game High School.
No.
It's actually pretty damn good. It's got some like. Not really fancy people in it. It's got hot chicks in it, whatever. But it's got it's about basically it's a different kind of alternate reality where video game players, like really good ones, are like basically the athletes of today's world. And if you're really really good, you have to go to this thing called Video Game High School and get to train. It's really good because it's obviously written by somebody who understands the culture. Like they don't throw out all these stupid references to video games for no reason. It's all kind of relevant. And when they show people playing the video game, they're not just showing them like playing the video game. It actually then cuts to a scene of them actually like if they're playing a first person shooter, it's actually the people playing the game in the actual first person shooter. It's really funny. It's actually pretty well done, and it is kind of cheesy, but it's not cheesy. We're like, oh god, these guys obviously have no idea what a video game is, or have not ever dealt with the culture, have never met someone who actually plays video games. Actually, you can tell it's written by people who understand it, and I think it's done really well. It's called Video Game High School. You guys should, it's definitely on the Canadian Netflix. I'm not sure for sure if it's on the American one, but I'm guessing it should be. It's actually pretty cool.
Okay.
Just me, it's kind of funny.
All right.
Do you have another email, or do you want to?
Yeah, let me do another email. This one comes from Jake Gray, a.k.a. Jake G92. And he says, hey, guys, I'm just wondering something. This is mainly for Chris, Jason, and Scott, if this gets on the correct show in time. When your kids are or were old enough to play games, what game did you choose for them to play? Let me explain. My 10 or 9 or 11-year-old cousin is playing Call of Duty Black Ops 2. I know it's an 18 rated game, but she gets that it's only a game and only plays zombies. But anyway, she basically limiting herself to horde mode and trophies. I need to get her to play some games for their stories. I can't suggest Uncharted, Alan Wake, or Heavy Rain for obvious reasons, not reasons. What? There's only one. Oh, okay. Sorry. Let me read that again. I can't suggest Uncharted, Alan Wake, or Heavy Rain for obvious reasons. Not reasons, there's only one. So do you guys know any games that for me to recommend? I'm also interested to know what games your kids will play or have played. Thanks guys, JG92. P.S. What the fuck is ranch dressing?
What? Do they not have that shit over the pond?
I guess not. And really? He says, and could peanut butter go on cereal since you guys ice creamed the dressing in episode 271? peanut butter could go with cereal if there's no milk involved.
Yeah, definitely can't put. No.
That still peanut butter sounds and milk gross to me. I'm sorry.
Drinking milk after peanut butter is good, but not mixing the two together.
Yeah.
I just can't think of a cereal that you would mix that with would mix peanut well. Butter that would not be like insanely difficult to eat.
Fuck yeah. Cocoa Krispies, I think I'm making like peanut butter balls, like you know when people like make peanut butter like with like. Basically,
dude,
the peanut butter is
what's
sticking.
You take
it
a spoon,
together.
You grab some peanut butter, and then you have like a bowl of cereal, and you put spoon in the cereal, and all the cereal sticks to it. It's easy.
I could see that being
then
just like straight
no,
up.
But
cornflakes.
The whole reason why you put milk on cereal in the first place is to soften up the cereal.
You don't have to soften up Cocoa Krispies. Works great. Or Cocoa Pebbles, that works too. Cocoa
I
Puffs,
I can see that working, yeah.
Pick one. It works all the like, cocoa ones.
Yeah, but but it's not like it works universally. Like, mix peanut butter with, like, grape nuts. How much would that tear
well, that
up
would
your
be
throat?
Weird, yeah. I mean, it's not every cereal, but, you know. I mean,
well,
you
you're
could
just making
it.
No, you made it sound like you could universally apply this rule, and I'm saying you can't.
Well, no, I wouldn't put peanut butter
I wouldn't
on
say
steak
universally. Yeah, it's like, he says peanut butter go on cereal. He was not specific about cereal, so, you know.
Yeah, pick but one. You were very adamant about peanut butter can go on anything.
And I stick to that for the most
part. I put
part.
That shit on my fish.
For the most part. It's awesome. An exaggeration, but I stick to that for the most part.
What the fuck was
nothing
the
like
original
calamari
question?
And some good
the original question was kids and games. When, what are you going to let your kids play and when?
Sam's already played Flower. I don't,
oh, yeah, that's right. You told me about that.
Playing is a loose term. She was holding onto the controller and swinging it around the room, not, you know, with like. But in terms of what she will play, God, that's an interesting topic that I have, like, pined over.
Dude, Scott, you and I could probably spend an hour talking about this. Easy.
Yeah, I mean, there is certainly a wealth of games out there that are age appropriate, you know, for some, especially somebody in Jake's standpoint that's like 9 to 12 or whatever he said. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. I mean, I would not pick Call of Duty to be among those, but hey, every kid's different. So
yeah, I would actually pick Uncharted before Call of Duty. I don't understand what the reason. There's only one reason. What's the one reason?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what that one reason is. Especially considering the the games that you said, Uncharted, Alan Wake, and Heavy Rain. I'm looking for a common theme in between them all, but like Heavy Rain has nudity, but you know, I don't think that's going to be an issue.
Yeah, it also has some fairly gory scenes with an axe.
True.
Don't you have to cut off your own finger on that damn game?
Yeah.
Like, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about. You don't have to, but that is like the vast majority of the outcome is that happens.
Okay. Well, I haven't played Heavy Rain yet, so.
Is one of the main characters like addicted to drugs and shit and all fucked up?
Yeah. Yeah, that too. Well, it's
perfect for preteens.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I mean, Heavy Rain is Crystal and I have the same thought on this. And it's that we want Liam and Alora to play the games that we played when we were their age. So we're going to introduce them to NES, SNES, and Genesis first
right.
when they're younger.
And I think that speaks to the biggest mentality I have with gaming as the kids grow up is just that the earliest games you introduce them to have to be the ones that have simplistic and limited mechanics, which also happens to coincide with a lot of the early games of our childhood. Not all of them, but a lot of them.
Yeah, most of them. Like two buttons and a D-pad.
Yeah. I'm not even necessarily saying like two buttons, just that they have a fundamentally simple premise. Like Mario
really
Brothers. Hey, get to the end. Like quite honestly, I think I'm probably not cave, but one of the things that I'm likely to do first is a shmup because it's pretty easy. Shoot them
and
don't get hit.
One of the first games I ever played
hit.
Was a shmup. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, me too. There are shmups out there that you can easily let someone play. It's like, go out and get a copy of Life Force.
Right.
Salamander. It's like, you plug in the Konami code, let him go to town with 30 lives, you know? You can do it that way.
I mean, I still recall to this day, too. Like, there was a year and a half ago, Hilden from DG Radio was talking about how his daughter was credit feeding shmups. You know, so you died. Continue. Who cares? You're on a console.
Yeah, who cares? Yeah,
right?
No doubt.
And she was having a complete blast just playing through to the end of that game. And while those games are difficult, they're only difficult because of self-imposed, conflicts that you're trying to do. I'm trying to get a high score.
Scorch.
I'm trying to do this without dying. If you go through and credit feed, those games are exceedingly easy because there's no barrier to feeding the credit.
You can basically just continue right away. Keep going. You're going to get to the end.
Well, yeah.
It's still going to be fun.
Yeah. So I would imagine that I would do things like that. Things that are not real punishing, have singular and fairly simplistic goals, even if they have multiple buttons. That would be the stuff that I would gravitate towards. I would stay away from the Kojima control schemes of the world.
Yeah, my son actually already plays a bunch of games on my phone. So he plays like Angry Birds and Cut the Rope and
touch devices are great for that.
Yeah, they really are. He started playing Hungry Shark, and I was like, okay, let me uninstall that. I was like, I don't want to do that anymore.
That's why I think it would be a good thing to introduce him to stuff like the NES stuff first.
Yeah, and that's what I'm planning on doing. So,
like, yeah, I've seen kids like now, like they know how to do iPod stuff and like touch, like tablet type stuff, and I think that's why like they don't have an interest in doing the whole controller thing because to them it's like, what is this? Like, you know, it's weird. It's weird. It's going to be weird to see a transition in about 10 years and all the kids playing tablets that are like really young, like let's say 5-6 years old, to see how the gaming industry is doing in like a console level with like controllers and stuff.
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, because I think a lot of those people are just addicted to their phones and their tablets, and they just haven't grown up with a controller in their hands. So
that's true.
From another standpoint, though, I actually just had this conversation with Sarah last night. I don't. Like, when we were growing up, when the Nintendo was there, or the Sega Genesis, there was a group of kids, and then there was the group of kids that played video games. And now that these have, like, bled into, like, things, devices like phones and tablets and stuff like that, how many kids, if the definition of a gamer is somebody who plays a game, how many kids nowadays haven't played a game?
Yeah.
Oh, it's probably 90-something% of kids who have access to this stuff, like a gamer.
It just baffles me how much that paradigm
how
has shifted.
It, yeah.
yeah. And it, and how it's totally, like, normal now.
Well, it's crazy. Even, like, even in our generation, like, you were kind of, like, nerdy if you played video games in, like, high school, whatever. But a couple years later, like, people were playing, like, stuff like Halo and Call of Duty in college.
Right.
Like, that would be, like, that'd be totally acceptable. That'd be fine.
Right.
Playing fucking GoldenEye in, like, fucking grade 10. Oh, my God. You're staying in on a Friday night and having some drinks and playing GoldenEye. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Right. Good question.
Like it.
All right. Let's finish up in his questions.
All right. This one's actually directly to me, and I don't think I've ever actually said this on the air, so I'll say that now. Navishan asks, is there any reason Jeff doesn't do the Growing Up podcast anymore? Did Travis threaten that he'd have to edit it sometime? And no, that didn't happen, although it kind of did happen. That's where I was actually going to start learning how to edit, was actually on the Growing Up podcast. It just came to be that we didn't have a set date to do it, so it was all kind of like, let's have this, let's do it on this date, and then it would get pushed, and then some personal stuff happened earlier this year, and it came down to I can't dedicate myself to two podcasts, especially when one didn't have a dedicated night, and it wasn't for sure going to happen, so I had to basically, well, I had to drop that one, because Indus is, that's like, this is what I love doing, so I was like, going to keep going with this. And that's the reason why. No bad blood there at all whatsoever. Just I don't have time to do two podcasts. It's just not possible.
It's a life thing.
it's exactly
Jeff
what it
wanted
is.
One, so
yeah, it's totally true. Like I couldn't plan. Like it'd be like Tanya was getting mad because it'd be like we might be recording Growing Up tonight, and then we wouldn't. So me and Tanya wouldn't do anything, but we wouldn't record Growing Up. And the next day we'd kind of do the same thing. Like and then it was. Got too much.
Yeah.
And even if there was a dedicated night to record, I still like there's 7 days a week, only so many hours in the day, and I can't dedicate it to two podcasts.
It's yeah. Just, it's hard. It's hard. It's
it, it is. Like doing one, like I know like I haven't done any editing and stuff like yet. Like I like Chris, kudos to you and you and Jason and Glenn and stuff and well Scott, you edit your show too, who have the time to do all that stuff. But, like I don't like even just doing it and planning it. Like once a week doing this show is like it's a lot of time. Like all tonight is dedicated to this show and same with you. Well, Scott's the guest in the show, but he has his own night he has every 2 weeks, so it's a lot. Couldn't do it.
I'm gonna answer this question with turquoise.
42.
I liked your other answer better, but I can see that too.
Alright.
Dark Bauer has one from Chris. Our buddy Jack, he says, is Chris really changing jobs because he's sick of dealing with UK format phone numbers?
Being a developer, I would say yes.
Fuck the UK, man. They don't have a consistent thing for anything. It's like their zip codes can be anywhere between three. Is it three or four? Is like
well,
the minimum
everything is
seven.
Like 011 or something like that.
And no, but like, and their phone numbers can be anywhere between 9 and 11 digits, and
yeah,
the
great.
Area codes can be either three, four, or five digits. And it's like just pick a fucking standard and do it. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
It's, oh man, I have so much code that I wrote to deal with like formatting fucking, UK numbers. It's like, I have a database table dedicated to area codes for UK phone numbers.
So
it's
in
ridiculous.
Short, this answer might be yes.
It might be yes. Of course, I'm going to GM, so GM is worldwide. I'll probably still have to deal with that fucking shit.
Yeah, but GM's big enough to have divisions.
That's true. That's true. I work in the U.S. division, thank God.
I would guess that it isn't like 100% yes, but it's definitely a contributing factor.
No, it's really not. It's really not. But the big thing about the where this comes from, it's like one of the – last year, my company expanded into the U.K., and when that happened, I was like, well, you know, I have a buddy over there. Let me, you know, email him and ask him how things work. And I emailed Jack and I was like, you know, what, how does this work? How does that work? You know, what are the phone numbers? And even he didn't know some of the shit that I was talking about. I was like, no, phone numbers have a 4-digit area code. I was like, but this one has 5 and this one has 3. And he goes, oh
yeah,
shit, you're right. It's like, even in the UK, they don't know how their fucking phone numbers work, you know?
I feel more bad for the, like, telephone operators of old that needed to deal with that when they're physically,
oh,
like, plugging in the wires.
Physically,
and everything.
Shit,
can
dude,
you imagine
man.
That?
Ugh. Oh, man.
All right. Salvador Luna, also known as Lunatic 5635.
Sup?
Haven't heard from him in a long time.
No doubt.
He says, you guys had to choose which Street Fighter character to marry, kill, or do. Who will it be?
Mary,
he's kind of doing the reverse.
Mary
he's
Cammy.
Not giving us, yeah, sorry, Mary who? Cammy?
Mary Cammy.
Okay.
Do Chun-Li.
Okay.
And kill, is it any Street Fighter character?
Anyone.
Fucking kill Blanka.
All right.
Hate that motherfucker.
Scott?
Get your electricity out of here.
Mary Chun-Li. Do...
Go ahead, say it, Cammy. You know it.
It's a debate between Cammy and Viper.
Well, yeah, Viper's all right.
Cammy's got a much better ass.
But Viper's a redhead.
She is. As I'm surprised, Chris, you didn't go for the Viper.
No, I. You know what? Viper doesn't really do it for me.
All right. We'll go Cammy. I'm a better
peer pressure.
I'm a legs guy anyway. And then kill any Street Fighter character.
Any Street Fighter character.
That's right.
Adon.
Adon. Okay. Oh, that's a good one. I know who Glenn would pick to kill. April's moves are bullshit.
I would say all of the cast except for
Goken. And who's Jury. His other character?
Jury.
Jury, that's it. There you go.
Kind of Inakuma. I would probably marry Cammy. I'd do Jury. And I would kill... I'd probably kill... Yeah.
Kill Sagat. Fucking God,
if I'm playing, like someone in terms of, like, characters hate fighting ants, I would also kill Cammy. Cammy is so ridiculous now, it's not even fun.
Well, which one was that? Was that your Mary?
No, Cammy was my... Cammy was my Mary.
Oh.
But in terms
of,
like,
you could collect the insurance if you could do it without getting caught.
Oh, that is true, actually. That's a good point.
This is going down the wrong road.
That's a good fucking point.
This is going down the wrong road.
If I could do that, like, an accident, like,
yeah, there's
like, hey, Scott, we're going to have a party, okay? And then so Days of Goo.
Oh,
there's
my.
Going to be, like, a second story.
That's dog.gamersonly.com.
I'd probably have to kill, I'd kill, fuck. You know what? I have to go with Blanka as well, actually.
Brofist.
Salvador Luna again, Lunatic says, who would win in a fight, a sandwich or a burrito?
A burrito.
In a fight?
Yeah.
Why is that? Because burritos are sealed and all their guts stay in. You hit a sandwich, that shit goes flying apart.
Yeah, it's kind of loose.
Yeah.
A burrito has a better chance of having spice.
It does.
And it's
going to be spicy and it's got girth.
It's got more kick, if you will.
Yeah, it does. It's got guacamole, sour cream. What does a sandwich got? You'll hear some tomato and some lettuce.
Right.
No. Yeah, that one, you know what? I expect a little bit more of a fight on that question. So burrito takes it.
Burrito takes it. There you go.
The Travis Baum, he says, Tomb Raider was awesome! Oops, not a question. Sorry. Tomb Raider was awesome!
Yes, Tomb Raider is awesome. So far, Tomb Raider is awesome.
Thank you, Travis. Scott,
hmm.
Goosow on Twitter, he's right here with us. He says, how did you guys get to be so cool to let Scott on?
Fuck yeah.
Actually, Scott begged us, so, you know, we kind of gave in.
I didn't.
We were like, oh, fine, we'll write you in.
I said,
there.
Does anyone want to help? And all four of you motherfuckers were like, we'll do it.
Yeah. we were going to have Glenn Purcell on. They were like, you know what? We'll get Scott in there instead.
And then the world rejoiced.
You know, I had Nathan Fillion lined up, but, you know, Scott said he was available. So.
That's right.
Exactly. You guys should have Nathan.
My wife, evidently, kind
never
of fucked
be Nathan
up,
Drake.
Considering.
Okay, Navishin.
Oh my god, I need to pee.
Okay, there's only two more. There's only literally two more.
Well, have fun. I'll be right back.
Why haven't you bought the Citadel DLC for Mass Effect 3 yet? It's so good. So fucking good.
Because I'm going to win it from you.
There you go. And I really don't give a shit.
Because Jeff, it really that Jeff good, doesn't though? Like fun.
No, I didn't like Mass Effect 3. I don't know if that was fun. Okay, Navishin, hit me up on Twitter or email or something like that. Let me know why it's so good. Give me a reason why it's going to impress me more than Mass Effect 3, the game, actually did. Then again, the only downloadable stuff I did with Mass Effect was that I actually enjoyed was Shadow Broker.
Shadow Broker was awesome, yeah. And what was the other one from 2?
Shadow Broker was 2. Oh, the other
yeah,
one.
Yeah, no, there was
two,
another one that the one that
oh the ninja the one with the chick. No.
No, there was one with where oh shit. God, I can't remember the name of it now.
I know exactly.
It's the last one. It's the one that leads into 3.
Oh, I thought that one was kind of mediocre. Wasn't it supposed to be like kind of meh?
Oh, no, I loved it. I thought it was great. I thought it was a good it was good from a story aspect, especially.
I heard that the two middle ones and the third one is actually kind of okay, but the first one is not that good. I came with the first
yeah.
one.
Well, all the stuff that came free was meh.
Yeah. He's got one more question. This is the last in his question of the night.
Thank God.
What movies, if any, are you looking forward to this year? For me, it's only Iron Man 3 and Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2.
Fuck that! Star Trek, bitch!
Star Trek does look cool. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2 looks... I love that fucking movie.
That movie was hilarious.
Yeah, so good.
I really want to see Iron Man. I want to see Oz, which is out right now. I want to see the new Die Hard, which is out right now.
Really?
Yes, hell yeah. Me and my wife are Die Hard fanatics. We love it.
Are you really Die Hard fanatics?
Mm-hmm. I love Die Hard, dude.
Did you like 4, though?
I did.
Yeah, I did. It had... Oh. Wait. Wasn't Timothy Olyphant in that one?
No. Which guy's that?
Who am I thinking of, then? The guy from Justified, from the TV show Justified.
Didn't he play one of the
evil dudes?
No, I think he played one of the tech guy, cop guys. Anyway, I might be confusing him with somebody else.
Possibly.
Go on.
I have to watch it again. I don't know.
I didn't mind that movie, though.
Yeah, I didn't hate it, to be honest. I've just heard so many bad things about the new one. But I'll still watch it. I mean, whatever.
It's Die Hard. I don't care. I'll watch it. I'll make my own judgment.
Yep.
Is it bad that I have like no idea what's coming out this year?
Yeah, I was just thinking.
To know is Star Trek's coming out. That's
Hangover
that's
3. Not a selling point for me.
You're fired.
I like.
Get off my show.
I'm sorry. Did you see
the last one?
The reboot one
with
Siler from Heroes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
It was entertaining, but I felt about that the same way that I felt about most of
J.J. Abrams.
I was going to say Star Trek.
Oh, okay.
is it most
say that
really?
Because
that is nothing
awesome.
Like any other Star Trek that has ever been released.
Right, but if I finish my sentence, then it might make sense.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, for the most part, when I watch Star Trek, I am generally entertained, but I've never felt very strongly about any of it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Like, it's good sci-fi. You know, I don't mind it, but I never, like, bought into any of it ever.
Yeah, I getcha. All right.
And I was right. Timothy Olyphant is in Die Hard 4.
Is he the bad guy?
He is Thomas Gabriel. If that helps.
Yeah, I think he's the bad guy.
Okay.
I can't remember.
I just remember him being in, like, a portable trailer or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was part of the internet blackout thing.
Okay.
Dealio.
Yeah, the whole... Yeah, okay.
Because the fourth one was all about...
It's all about a fire sale.
Right, right.
Yeah.
That thing. I don't remember it that well. Sorry.
I saw it recently, actually. Really good.
Back to the whole movie, what we're looking forward to. I haven't been to a movie since the third Narnia movie.
Wow, really?
Since the third what, sorry?
The third Narnia movie.
Oh, wow. That was the last time you went to the movie theater?
Yes.
Holy shit.
That's what happens when you have kids.
Two kids.
Dude, that was way before he had kids, though, wasn't it?
No,
it wasn't.
The third one?
That might have been before Kaylee was born. But, well, yeah, it was definitely before Kaylee was born, but it was not before Sam was born. You have to understand, like, babysitters, if you look at them by themselves, don't seem that expensive. But you're only ever paying a babysitter so you can go out and do something.
Yeah,
so
it's
more
expensive.
By the time you go out and you freaking pay for dinner and then you pay for a movie and popcorn and soda and snacks on top of that, you're talking, a movie is like $100 to $130, and I don't care what fucking movie it is not worth that. I will fucking wait 6 months, especially because the turnaround time between theater and DVD or Blu-ray right now is way shorter than it used to be. It's like 4 to 6 months and you can see whatever it was. I can wait. Fuck it. It's not the last time I saw a movie. It was just the last time I went to a movie.
Well, yeah, I can see that. Like, we don't go to movies that much either, and we don't have kids. It's just something we don't really do too often. Maybe once a month or once every 2 months we'll see something.
Yeah.
Right. I think the last movie I saw in theater was maybe Wreck-It Ralph, maybe.
Oh, like I still want to see that. We haven't gotten that from
really
Netflix
good.
Yet.
Check it out. Anyway, that's all the Indus questions. If you want to write an Indus question to us, you can hit us up at Indus questions on the Twitters. We'll read them every couple weeks or so, but we get to all of them. Don't worry.
We even read the ones that go, why didn't you read my questions?
Exactly.
All right, you guys ready for some new releases then?
I was born ready.
You were? Mm-hmm. Well, here we go.
Hi guys, there's not too much coming out this week, and I guess Sony would want to think the big headlining game is God of War Ascension. So yeah, if you're not completely sick of the God of War type of gameplay, have another one.
Have another one.
Elsewhere, there's Sniper Ghost Warrior 2. That's for PC, 360, and PS3. It's some sort of a first-person shooter. Presumably you have a sniper rifle. Yay. And on the download side of things, we're getting Darkstalkers Resurrection for the PS3 and 360. Now this is Darkstalkers 2 and 3 done up in HD, I think. So yeah, I mean, I've always kind of liked the Darkstalkers games. They play kind of strange, but yeah, that could be kind of cool. And finally, the PC is getting StarCraft II Heart of the Swarm, so the expansion for StarCraft II. Okay, I guess if you like StarCraft, you probably already know about that, and that'll pretty much do it.
Well, I had no idea that Heart of the Swarm was this week.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that close.
Well, what do you guys think? Pick of the week?
I'm definitely getting God of War, but I kind of want to go Darkstalkers.
I'm going Darkstalkers.
Like, I'm going to get Darkstalkers as well, but...
Here's the deal. Go get Darkstalkers, because if enough people get Darkstalkers, they're going to make a new one.
Yeah.
Go get Darkstalkers.
And even if you don't buy God of War, they're going to make a new one.
Yeah, that's right. I promise Sony will get their money back regardless of whether or not you buy it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go Darkstalkers as well.
Yeah.
I'll go Heart of the Swarm because that would be the most likely game of all of those that I would play.
That you get. Makes sense.
I think for me, God of War and Darkstalkers are equally likely, but I would rather see people buy Darkstalkers at this point.
Agreed.
So I didn't really say this before we moved on, but I did get a couple of voicemails, but we're going to save those to next week because we are really running really fucking long right now. So
sorry.
We got a couple of voicemails. I didn't forget about you guys. I did see them. We will play them next week. I apologize. Really quick, we're going to go through question of the week, then we're going to get out of here. Question of the week for this week is a repeat of what we said last week, and we're going to move that feature to next week. And that is, what would you put in the food court of the museum that we created last week? Well, the week before last now. And to answer that question of the week, you send us an email. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You send us a voicemail as well. That number is 706-760-4337. If you are on, if you want to do Google Talk, you can get us at interactivedistractions@gmail.com. You can also, record an MP3 and send it to us via email. If you are on Twitter, you can find us there. We are Indus Podcast, and individually we are Indus Chris and, Goose Owl.
Yep.
G-O-O-S-A-U. And Indus Geoff.
G-E-O-F.
If you're on Facebook, Steam, or... If you're on Facebook, Steam, or Google+, just search for Interactive Distractions and you'll find us. And come over to Retroids and join the community. We would appreciate it. And we would love to talk to you about games. So that is all I've got. Scott, pimp your shit one more time.
Sure. Like I said before, I'm from Gamers Only Older. You can find us at gamersonlyolder.com. We're on iTunes, Zoom, Stitcher Marketplaces. Just do searches. You'll find us easily. Also, Retroids. Fantastic place. Go hang out. And Days of Goo, DOG.gamersonlyolder.com. Or if you want to help donate, you want to come, you want to secure those spots, funding.gamersonlyholder.com.
Very cool.
Sweet.
So thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you're on iTunes or Zune Marketplace, yeah, I'm still saying that. I'll cut it out of my my ending, you know, show notes soon. But
yeah, I don't even think Harlock has a Zune.
I think they're just gone. I think Animated keeps it just to listen to our show so we can keep saying Zune Marketplace. please leave us a review. Thank you guys again for listening. And until next week, my name is Chris.
I'm Jeff.
And was I supposed to be recording this?
You're Scott.
Yes.
What?
You were supposed to be recording. Play your games, and we'll talk to you next week.
Have a good one.
Peace.